Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours.
Today, August 19, 2021. Thank you for joining me today. I have a really important show for you today, some really large admissions and some interesting contrasts of information that we've been showing you from the very beginning. One in regard to what you probably already have seen. If I had done a show yesterday, I would have talked about it as well, that Fox News is pointing out what we've been saying the whole time. Of course, it's good that it's being pointed out, but it's from something that the director of the CDC recently kind of quietly admitted in an interview that shows you exactly what we've been saying the entire time about the 99% unvaccinated claim, which is that it was a guess, or it was rather just what they wanted you to think when the real data is showing you everything else. And we'll get into it today, as well as the fact that new information is coming out that shows that natural immunity is working against all the variants, and they're still ignoring it, which shows you everything you need to know. Now, we have a lot more to talk about as well, a lot of scientific studies we're going to go through today. We're going to start off with some discussions around censorship, Afghanistan, and try to do this in a reasonable amount of time today, but it could be a longer one depending on what we get into. So let's get right into the big discussion today, the main points, and start off with the superfluity outside the discussion points is what I meant to say. There's a few things we're going to talk about today to start off that I wanted to shout out that are just kind of not connected to any other points, but I thought were relevant to get into right out of the gate. And again, let's just get right into it so we can go through this quickly today. First, I want to make sure we shout out that Richie Allen was just banned by PayPal as well. Unceremoniously, no justification, just pulled the plug and just gone. Oh, you know what? I just realized I forgot another email that I was going to show you. First of all, to show you this, to say shout out to Richie Allen and everybody else who's being censored for trying to keep the truth in front of you. I got this in an email that I thought was hilarious. It says you didn't get your money. And look closely. It says we've sent your customer an email asking them to make sure their payment information is correct. Oh, you're so kind, PayPal. So you're telling me either that PayPal is this incompetent that they told me I can no longer use their platform and that's why they can't get that payment to go through. And yet they're reaching out to that person and going, hey, is your information correct? Or they're doing this just to make everything more complicated for me, make me look bad, make those people think that I'm doing something wrong, and so on. I've already gotten emails from people that I guess aren't watching the show every time, and they're going, hey, I've tried to send you money. PayPal's saying it's wrong, and something's wrong on your end. I'm not kidding. People have reached out and said PayPal told them that there was a problem on TLAB's side. Either way, I got another email today in the same regard that was going over information just like that, and it's showing you that PayPal is playing games or broken because they're trying to censor people for the truth. It's an interesting time, isn't it? But I just think this is pathetic. I've gotten 100,000 of these just every moment because we had so many people sending in dollar donations and all sorts of things. Every moment I'm getting emails from PayPal saying, didn't go through. I'm sure that's intentional. It doesn't bother us. We have it already set to go to its own folder. No one's even paying attention to it. The point is that they are trying to pretend like we are the problem when they are the ones censoring people for telling the truth. Another note, I wanted to make sure to shout this out. Not that this is a big point necessarily, but I made a comment about a tweet from a Michael Malice yesterday who I'm completely unfamiliar with, which is why this happened. The point was, apparently this guy was trolling people. I don't have the tweet in front of me, but it was one of those tweets like, anybody unvaccinated should be put to prison, or, you know, just crazy hyperbolic. And those are everywhere today. People saying that people who are unvaccinated should be not allowed to go to anywhere or drive in a bus or get in their car or take their kids to school, shouldn't be allowed to do anything, right? And it's everywhere. It's all over the internet. And so when I saw the tweet somebody shared with me from him, I didn't know who he was, and I assumed it's another one of those, which was the fault of mine, of course, because we can all make mistakes. But the point was really that that's out there. Now, I just want to shout this out because apparently he's doing, from all the people that told me, doing a good job about kind of trolling the people that are doing that. So more power to you, Michael Malice. I didn't know your account. Now I'll have to be more, I'll have to get more interested or involved in the account to understand who the person is. Anyway, going forward, guess what I just discovered on Klaus Schwab channel, which is not necessary. It's not removed yet. It's not deleted yet, but it's on strikes. That's why we haven't used it in a minute. YouTube is just desperately trying to chop away our pirate streams, and every time they chop one down, four more pop up. Again, for those of you out there who want to participate in TLAB pirate streams, which is why we're on YouTube. And if you're on YouTube right now, why go anywhere else? But the point is that there are enough people out there that have old, disgusting, broken YouTube channels because they're realizing it's a bad platform, and they're going to go, here, Ryan, use this one to keep the information flowing in front of people lost on YouTube. So if you'd like to do that and be a part of the solution, email me at ryan@thelastamericanvagabond.com with pirate streams in the subject, and we will find it and we'll reach out and we'll maybe use your channel next. Point being, this is one of those pirate channels with 1,000 subscribers, and it's got 30,000 views in the interview with Dr. Peter McCullough. Now, apparently this is his favorite interview he's done, so I hear, and that's why he's sharing it everywhere. That's through secondary information, so I don't know if that's accurate or not, but the point is, it nonetheless is being shared 30,000 times and being viewed 30,000 times. This is why pirate streams are working. We are reaching people. Reaching it. And we need to continue doing that. And anybody else who's aware of the problem, go to SuperU, go to Odyssey, go to Rockfin, go to BitChute, go anywhere else. Another point I wanted to make about PG&E, this is really frustrating as I've got family and people that live in California. Remember the whole big fake news story about how it was PG&E's fault, all those fires started, and then it turned out that was the truth and nobody ever really went back and said, oh, we were wrong about that fake news story. The point is that PG&E and these companies were negligent, and that's why this stuff happened. So instead of just taking it upon themselves to not be negligent, they just said, oh, okay, well, when there's problematic situations where there could be new fires, we're just going to shut your power off. Ha ha ha. Next time, don't tell on us. Right? This is punitive in my mind. Regardless, is that PG&E is shutting off people's power because of these wildfire worries in the middle of the summer in 100-degree weather. I mean, this is disgusting. If we care about people's safety and health, but we're going to shut your power off in the middle of the summer because of a situation that we let get dilapidated, but we're not going to fix that. We're just going to shut your power off when the season comes around. This is crazy. Now, it's a little bit more specific in that I've covered this story in the past. I just can't believe there's any circumstance they can justify while you're paying your bills, they'll shut your power off in the summer because of something that they didn't do. This is a microcosm of the problem of everything else we're dealing with in the government and everywhere else. This is a monopoly and it is broken. And this is the problem everywhere. I mean, I can't even think of a situation that's not exactly like that. Now, here's another example that going into the broken nature of our regulatory system. The EPA will ban a pesticide widely used on fruits and vegetables from use on crops because guess what? It has links to neurological damage in children. Now, here's the real point here. Things happen like this where you discover new information. That's because science is always evolving, unlike what they wanted you to think, I guess, still, while pretending that's what they mean. The point is this was approved. This was acknowledged. This was researched. This was used. And it turns out that it's causing neurological damage in children. So there's two points to take away here. Either one or both, really, that there's an incompetence level where they failed to really do their due diligence on this. And two, that it could have just been something that they didn't see. And now we're finding it out. So in the context of today, where we're going, hey, this might have problems. And they're going, no, we should mandate it and force it on everybody, regardless of whether we finished all the safety, because we're all in danger. We need to realize that these things come to pass over time. And we can't just broad stroke everything because CDC says so right now, even though they've been wrong countless times around pandemics, around things just like this, and been called out by the WHO, the BMJ, and the HHS years before this for doing exactly that. I've shown you all these things on the show before. Now, one last point before we jump into the beginning of this show, or really the beginning of the foreign policy part of it. I need to make a point about this. Someone just shared this with me in our Discord community. Saudi millionaire who said he accidentally tripped and penetrated teenage girl cleared of rape. This is not a joke. This is The Independent. Not that that makes it not a joke, but the point is that this is a genuine story, and this is not a unique story, which should make you disgusted. You know why? Because your government is okay with allowing this to happen. Now, I'm not going to dig into this story deep because there's a lot to it, but I've covered this a long time ago. I covered this back on February 9th, 2019. Saudis charged with rape in the U.S. whisked back home with the support of your government. And there is a long list. I forget which one it was. Of course, they censor this video on YouTube. Shocker. But everything will be in this video. A governor from one of the states in this country who having a huge problem with this exact thing, having Saudi nationals come to his state and then basically rape and do things and steal and then just fly back to Saudi Arabia with the support of our government, made a huge deal about it. He made a huge running list and said, look, these are all the people that have been charged without any, and nobody, they didn't even have a day in court. They got flown back to Saudi Arabia, and your government doesn't care. This is horrific to me that this continues to happen. And this is the same kind of idea of saying, well, we care a lot about these terrible human rights violations over there, but we'll completely ignore them in Saudi Arabia and Israel. You know, in Israel, it's frustrating at the very least. On that note, it just reminded me of something. Apparently, I'm being told that I said people speaking Israeli in Israel. I can't even believe I would say that. But if I did, that's ridiculous. And it's Hebrew. Someone just pointed that out to me. And if it did, it was off the cuff. You know, you try speaking for 3.5 hours straight and not and say everything exactly right when you're running as fast as I am. Right. You know how it goes. But mistakes are made. I'll always try to circle back and fix them. I can't believe I would say that. I can't. I don't think I did. But if I did, I wanted to correct it. On that note, watch this video so you can understand what's really happening and how much is going on behind the scenes that you're not told about. Now, jumping over to a couple of points on articles, Derek just wrote a great article on about 5G. And we just covered this briefly about the Children's Health Defense because they had they're one of the people involved with this. Nonprofits score huge victory in battle against 5G technology. The real takeaway here, guys, is that this DC Circuit Court of Appeals found that the FCC completely failed to acknowledge, let alone respond to, comments concerning the impact of RF radiation on the environment. The records contain substantive evidence and potential environmental harms. They got caught for ignoring that. I mean, good God, and nobody is anybody doing anything about that? Isaac, and this is the point, guys. If we believe that they're actually keep holding anything accountable right now, whether it's the vaccine, whether it's the safety of the injections, whether it's any level of this, the EPA, the FDA, the CDC, if you believe these things and we can watch this happening in real time, I don't know what's wrong with you. They are not held accountable. I mean, look, I just played this the other day. We might as well play it again. I think I just added it. Yeah. And this is legitimately a member of Congress going, guys, what have we done in regard to safety tests on this topic?
How much money has the industry committed to supporting additional independent research? And we're talking about research on the biological effects of this new technology.
There are no industry-backed studies, to my knowledge, right now.
So essentially, the answer to my question, how much money? Zero.
So I can only follow up with you, Senator. To my knowledge, there's no active studies being backed by industry today.
Anybody else know of industry commitments to back research, fund it, support it, to ascertain scientifically the health effect?
Well, I'm not aware of any.
So there really is no research ongoing. We're kind of flying blind here, so far as health and safety is concerned.
Crickets.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Mr.
Chairman. Yeah, shocking, shocking. Disgusting. Anyway, fantastic article that I really hope you have been. Derek has been on top of this story long before people, like, he's done documentaries on this. He's been attacked for trying to point this reality out a long time ago. And they just won a huge victory on this, but it's not going to stop it, because if it really breaks down to the FCC having to make an excuse about why they didn't look at that data. Now, if they do so and the system is broken as I think it is, well, it'll keep going forward. But this is a win nonetheless. It's all about the data. And exposing that they're ignoring that just because the FCC goes, yeah, this is what we did and here's why. And the broken system says, okay, we take that excuse. We can still point out that this is how it happened and we need to keep fighting, right? This is important. Now, here is a link that Derek references from The Intercept in the article. Senate infrastructure bill, which I will look more in as soon as the House actually votes and it's actually official, would invest $500 million in smart city surveillance technology. Now, I already told you this. I've told you this two times now. But during Biden's big, I think it was an executive order push for financial funding for something. I forget what that was exactly off the top of my head. But then we've got this infrastructure bill, which I already briefly pointed to. In it's all about the Great Reset. This is the infrastructure revitalization or reimagining for the Great Reset, for the Build Back Better agenda, right? And these aren't secrets. This is an open discussion and it's all being discussed and all of them are part of it. And I mean, this is being pushed right now. And this is the idea that this is involved in this concept. So is this because we need to fix these problems or because we want to reimagine them in a way that works for them? And it's all about surveillance technology. Anyway, read this for yourself. I want to include a video that I did, this was, I believe, March 26 is when I posted it on a BitChute anyway. This was a video I did called 5G Bill Signed into Law While Everyone is Distracted by Coronavirus. I did this on March 26, 2020, or a couple of days before, on a larger show. I believe this was the clip of that. Got over 1 million views on YouTube. And of course, they censored it. Now, of course, they lied when they did and said that I was trying to conflate the idea of 5G with coronavirus, which is not something that I'm balking at. I just don't, I haven't seen the proof, but I'm saying there's plenty of things to be interested in there. But the point was that all I was saying was that Donald Trump, the very person who was supposed to be the hero at this time for the people fighting against 5G, was the one who signed in the bill while everybody was looking somewhere else. Now, why would that be censored? Because there's more going on here than we realize. But the point was that this was censored, and then later the channel was removed, and so it's hard to find this stuff. But I hope you will take the time to look into this, because there's clearly an important discussion here. Whether or not it's connected to something going on today, the point is that this is dangerous. They know that it's dangerous. At the very least, they know that they haven't looked into it. But the reality is quite clear based on all the research. Again, the scientific studies that they will not acknowledge. Now, on the Afghanistan topic, Robert just wrote a great article called What You Are Not Being Told About the Taliban Takeover of Afghanistan. Now, as I said, we may have differed on opinions here. Turns out we have a pretty similar point. He has a couple different stances on this that he actually, you know, in a large degree kind of shifted my opinion here, because, you know, Robert is on top of this stuff. Now, this is an important discussion about the reality behind all of this, the reality of the illegal occupation of Afghanistan, what the Taliban is really doing, who they really are. And it's the same kind of idea we talked about. The movement I'm trying not to take too much time. Now, the point is, this picture we showed you before is an interesting one because of the weapons that they're using. And somebody made an interesting note about the way that they're all keeping their fingers off the triggers, in a contrast to something else I'll show you at the end here. Anyway, I hope you will read. Oops, just move my computer. I hope you will read this article, because it's a really important one to understand, because we're being lied to. Now, here's something interesting too that somebody shared in regard to Biden saying this right before all this happened. And it's just really revealing to recognize how they will just blame. Now, this could be a lie, or it could mean that he had no idea what he was talking about. Either one of those things should be alarming right now. Here's what he said. And this is before. So July 8th, 2021, before what happened in Afghanistan.
No, it is not. Because you have the Afghan troops have 300,000 well-equipped as any army in the world, and an air force, against something like 75,000 Taliban. It is not inevitable.
Not inevitable, right? And the idea is of the 300,000 troops that were propped up by the U.S. government, right? With U.S. weapons, U.S. tax dollars coming out of your pocket.
Thank you very much. Your own intelligence community has assessed that the Afghan government will likely collapse.
That is not true.
Can you please clarify what they have told you about whether that will happen or not?
That is not true. They did not reach that conclusion.
So what is the level?
So he's obviously unaware of what his own government is talking about, which is great.
Of confidence that they have that it will not collapse.
The Afghan government and leadership has to come together. They clearly have the capacity to sustain the government in place.
So this is the argument that they already tried to make, that this is their fault. Right. So let's pretend like the U.S. government isn't controlling every single thing that's happening in that country. Right. That's their fault. Right. If they don't come together with what we told them to do. Right. This is like the boss of a business pointing to one of their employees and saying they did it. It wasn't my fault. That's just ridiculous and feeble.
And do you see any parallels between this withdrawal and what happened in Vietnam, with some people feeling
none whatsoever? Zero. What you had is you had entire brigades breaking through the gates of our embassy. Six, if I'm not mistaken. The Taliban is not the North Vietnamese army. They're not remotely comparable in terms of capability. There's going to be no circumstance where you see people being lifted off the roof of a embassy of the United States from Afghanistan.
Now, of course, I could have grabbed that tweet that everybody, I'm sure, saw was viral, and everybody shared it on their shows. The point is that this is obviously, you can show a parallel of the pictures of people being lifted right out of, you know, by a helicopter, compared with what happened to Vietnam. And it's exactly what happened. So it's just ridiculous. I mean, this is the real takeaway before we even finish it, is that this is what these things are. This has nothing to do with facts, information. It is about what they want you to think. This is social engineering. Now, is it possible that they said all this because they thought it was the truth? Sure. Which then makes you, then you should reflect on how wildly incompetent they are. Or it's just because this is what they were hoping to accomplish, even if it was a slim chance. And they knew if they told you this, that the media would report it, and then maybe they could squeak by, or maybe they thought they were. The bottom line is none of these things, when they're talking to you from the briefings, from the White House, from the State Department, are ever truly about giving you information. It is about giving you the narrative. And sometimes that's aligning with the truth, of course. But it's obviously not in this case.
It is not at all comfortable. So the question now is, where do they go from here? That the jury is still out. But the likelihood there's going to be the Taliban overrunning everything and owning the whole country is highly unlikely.
Ah, well. And as BDW, whoever that is, says here, this may become the most infamous and devastating press conference ever held by an American president, which is just, that's ridiculous, because there's far, far, I mean, mission accomplished is right up there too, right? There's a lot of these. This is just a clumsy misquote, or, you know, this, I just don't agree with this is the most infamous. There's a lot crazier stuff, but I mean, really, we could talk about some COVID stuff that would be up there as well, but this is just ridiculous. And he's right. This is pretty bad. And just the takeaway is they are always misleading you. Now, updates on Afghanistan, just in, the Taliban captured, I'm already laughing at her tweet down here, captured 2,000 US made armored vehicles, up to 40 aircraft. 40 aircraft. Do you realize how much, I don't know what, which ones they are, but do you realize that some of these aircrafts can be over $1 million? If we're talking like, you know, the ones that are terrible, what was it? The F-50, I'm forgetting which one it was that we, you know, wildly overpaid, and it wasn't working properly. But the point is, these are expensive. You're talking millions of dollars right there. Millions of your tax dollars that were just left in Afghanistan and captured by what's supposed to be the terrorist organization that we're all afraid of now, except we were just about to make a deal with them. Before that, they were bad guys, and then they were make a deal. Now they're bad guys again. Totally makes sense. They never changed once during that process. Isn't that funny? But as she points out, captured in quotes, right? I mean, it's ridiculous. They didn't capture anything. Like, this is just, it's obviously there's a process going on here. And I truly believe there's far more coordination happening here. Now, Robert points out the same thing, but in the argument that it may have been far more that they kind of just had to do this, that the U.S. government lost their position and basically ended up making a choice to lean into these people taking power, because they only had two choices: let them take power and support that, or push back in and fight. And that Americans would not have been okay with that. And they're not okay with general right now. But the point is, if they would have been like, okay, 50 more thousand troops to fight back the Taliban, we're back at 2000. We're back in the beginning of the 20-year war, right? So that was not an acceptable choice, I think. And that is an argument that makes sense. Now, that's one of the points on which I think Robert kind of swayed me. Now, this should upset you. This is the New York Post reporting, and this is the truth. The Twitter is saying the Taliban can stay on the platform if they obey the rules. Right. Now, you know my opinion about this. I'm not arguing that they are what the U.S. government is saying they are. But the reality is, as I just said, just take a moment and realize how ridiculous it is. And what it really does show us, when a platform that currently has the Last American Vagabond banned for discussing peer-reviewed scientific research is willing to allow a group that the U.S. government still regards as a dangerous terrorist organization. They do. They clearly still consider that the case, right? They're right now arguing, I mean, on and on and on, but they're literally allowing them, saying, sure, follow the rules. But we can't be on the platform. Of course, because they claim we're not following the rules. So it's okay, ISIS, and they can just jump on there. No worries. As long as you don't cite peer-reviewed research, you do that and we're going to ban you, right? Go ahead and talk about all you want. Crazy. Oh, of course, the U.S. is stepping in the world and going, oh, make sure you understand that president that fleed, that we know was our puppet that was supposed to be propped up, he's no longer a figure in Afghanistan. Okay, thanks, U.S. government. Are we confused about who gets to decide who's in charge? It's all democracy over there in Afghanistan, unless the U.S. government says something about it, right? He's no longer a figure. Are we talking to the Afghanistan people? Are we talking to their government? No, we're talking to a U.S. government reiterating what they want to be the case from another part of the world. Are you confused about who's in charge? Right? They are not. This is an obvious ploy to make you think they're spreading democracy. This is nation building. This is occupation. And their guy, who was their prop up point, who just fled because he was in danger, obviously, they go, well, screw that guy. Well, the point is, I think they're clearly leaning into the Taliban rule at this point, and that's why. Instead of playing a Guaido situation, which they are seemingly doing in three different locations in the world, was really embarrassing. There'd be another Guaido. Ghani's the real president, right? Modi's the real president over here for Yemen. It's embarrassing that they have all these ostracized people that have been pushed out of their positions that are not in the location they're supposed to be in, that the people of the countries don't support, and the government's over there going, they're the real leader. This would have been more And I think that's why they chose to go, no, he's no longer a figure. But my point is, who's making the choices? Obviously, the U.S. government. It says here, Afghanistan with a T. Now, what I find to be really telling about this, for those on the podcast, this is a picture of the trends from yesterday. And it's trending, number one in politics, Afghanistan spelled with a T, which is incorrect. Now, my point here is not to say that everybody doing this was incorrect, because people do, in fairness, type in AFG and then kind of hit the tag without looking at it. And they just simply pop up the one that's being used the most. But this is still a point to take away. This is a point that's reminiscent of the fact that when the North Korea situation was all up in arms and everybody was upset about that. Is it funny how that just disappeared? We need to reflect on that for a second. The reality that the whole argument was that when North Korea was going to get nuclear weapons and we were all going to be in danger, and then they did, and then everything went away. So are we still in danger and we're just not being told about it? Or was it everything we kept telling you that they were doing so to be able to protect themselves from the real bad guys in the world? And now that they have that protection and are able to fight back, they go, whoa, we'll back away. And now everything went quiet. Isn't that interesting? Now, that's not in any way to imply that North Korea or their leadership are actually good guys or fighting. The good guy, bad guy dichotomy is childish. The point is that they're just another group. In fact, I argue probably ties to the CIA in general, but over there in building nuclear weapons, which now they are using as defensive measure, the idea that they're, you know, this whole back and forth. The point was, it just went away. It just disappeared from the conversation. And it was a biggest threat to our democracy. What happened? Well, nothing. I just find that to be really ridiculous. So the point here, or the point there, was that back when that was happening, Americans, there was all sorts of polls and discussions. They couldn't even point out North Korea on a map. Yet Bolton was screaming, bomb them. And there's plenty of Americans that were going, yeah, bomb them. Just erase them from the map. Oh, where on the map? Oh, I don't know, because I don't even know where it is. The point is that we shouldn't be saying things like that if you can't find out where it is. Same point here. Posting tea with Afghanistan and sharing concepts about this, I said, this says a lot about this country. More specifically, of course, this is what happens on a platform that only allows limited characters. You lose context. It's not just this country. It's about people out there arguing that we should be occupying a country without really fully understanding how to spell it. I said, if we cannot spell this country, maybe we should take a break from screaming about the virtues of its illegal occupation. Just saying. Now, obviously, plenty of people could have just made a mistake. I almost made the mistake, and that's why I saw this, but I did catch it. So the point is that you're paying attention, due diligence, anyway. But to be fair, plenty of people probably just shared it anyway. But the problem is that's happening a lot. Now, I want to play this clip really quickly of Julian Assange speaking in 2011. The goal is to use Afghanistan to wash money out of the tax bases of the U.S. and Europe through Afghanistan and back into the hands of transnational security elite. The goal is an endless war, not a successful war.
Because the goal is not to completely subjugate Afghanistan. The goal is to use Afghanistan to wash money out of the tax bases of the United States, out of the tax bases of European countries, through Afghanistan, and back into the hands of a transnational security elite. That is the goal, i.e. the goal is to have an endless war, not a successful war.
Well, this is why this person is in a black hole somewhere where he can't speak and no one can hear. I mean, this is one of the most egregious problems. This should upset everybody in this entire situation right now, that this person is still in jail, that they're still appealing the extradition ruling that he wasn't allowed to be removed. It's just disgusting. This person told you the truth, or rather revealed to you what whistleblowers were telling you as the truth, and he's still in prison. And nobody ever involved with the crimes that he exposed have even been investigated. There's no confusion about what's really going on in this country or other countries around the world. The governments are fighting against you. It's just time to realize what's really happening. This is an endless war. That's why it's continuing. And guess what? That's why something happened. And now we have to be back there. Weird. Isn't that exactly what I said? It is. Now, somebody pointed this out. Now, this isn't necessarily it's just a subjective point. It's an opinion, but interesting nonetheless. And I wanted to point this out. Now, this is what they were showing us from images from before. You can see that they're pretty much, these pictures, they're everywhere, they're showing with their finger on the trigger, which is what an average person would do that wasn't trained by some kind of military elite. Now, here is today where you flash forward to the CIA, what they're claiming, and I agree, the CIA trained the Taliban. Interesting how every one of them have their fingers off the trigger, which is an indication, and it could just be random, maybe they got trained themselves, but it's an indication of training, right? The average person wouldn't do that. Most people who just pick it up tend to put their finger on the trigger. That's what you have to be trained away from because it's dangerous. So it's just a good point, isn't it? There's something happening here. And I truly believe that there's more coordination. That's why I called it a PSYOP yesterday. Whether or not this was an actual organic thing that was taken and used the way, which is what they always do, or it was triggered from the beginning. Pretty, pretty telling, isn't it? Now, I want to jump right over into the discussion of, specifically in this case, vaxxed versus unvaxxed, right? The 99% of the unvaccinated are the problem. Well, that's simply not true. Now, here is Joe Biden saying this yesterday. And then we're going to jump right over to the CDC saying exactly the opposite of that, that this was a guess, that this is based on old information. And of course, this is, we're going to jump back to this way at the end of the show and talk about the mask in Tennessee part of this. But we're going to start off with just this first part of it. Now, I want you to listen to what he has to say, and then we're going to jump over and show you how he's completely wrong. But he's not being censored, because I'm not even calling for him to be censored. The point is that we're being censored for pointing facts out. But everybody else who wants to scream about the virtues of this vaccine miracle, they can say whatever they want. Makes you fly, never, it'll stop everything ever. You know, I've said this joke many times, and it's not even a joke. I can make an entire video talking about how this vaccine can do things nothing else has ever done. It'll make you, you'll never get sick again. It'll make your hair grow back. It'll do blah, 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 blah. They won't censor a video like that. I've already pointed examples of that out. However, if I show things using peer-reviewed science that suggest that it could be something that goes against the narrative, censored. It's just ridiculous. And all the information's there for you to look at for yourself. I'm not asking you to believe or trust or any of that. I'm asking you to do your due diligence, as so many are refusing to do today.
Here's the latest data that confirms that we're still in a pandemic of the unvaccinated. While we're starting to see initial signs that cases may be declining in a few places.
Let me know if that's too low in the chat. I think that's probably good.
Cases are still rising, especially among the unvaccinated. There are still 85 million Americans who are eligible to get vaccinated or remain unvaccinated and at real risk. Across the country, virtually all of the COVID-19 hospitalizations and deaths continue to be among the unvaccinated. In Alabama, more than 90% of the current hospitalizations are among the unvaccinated. In Texas, 95% of those in hospitals are unvaccinated. Right now, it's worse in states where overall vaccination rates are low. But let me be clear, even in states where the vaccination rate is high, the unvaccinated in those states are also at risk. And we're seeing cases rise as a result.
Yeah, except no deaths, though, right? Oh, good. It was good. Okay, I downloaded it anyway, just in case on the fly. But he's telling you a lie right there. He's telling you something that's 100% based on subjective opinion, and I'm going to show you where the CDC director says exactly that. The hospitalizations, the deaths, all of this from Israeli data, from Iceland, from Gibraltar, from Malta. I'm showing you all these cases. Anywhere else they will not show you the contrast between vaccinated and unvaccinated in this context. And that's important. There's a reason for that. Now, Israeli data is showing you the most important contrast, which is that it's just hospitalizations are predominantly vaccinated. And this is just information that he's telling you based off talking points, because people are refusing to do their due diligence and look at the actual research. And this is my biggest problem here. Now, we're going to circle back to this briefing in a minute, later, actually more than a minute, but later in the show. I'm going to jump over here to this discussion, this article, which is actually from the Washington Post. But of course, since they paywall everything because they're a failing platform, we're going to jump over to the Seattle Times, which posted verbatim. Now, August 18th, posted and then updated, which is interesting. They don't want to show you what they changed, but that means they changed something. At least they're posting an update. And CNN and different platforms, they change things at will and don't even tell you when they do that, because that's great journalism. How CDC data problems put the U.S. behind on the Delta variant. That's what a kind title that is. So we lied about our understanding of this and kept that from your view, but it's because we were just trying to get the data as fast as we could and we didn't want to tell you that. That's some really great, that title is just basically a lie. Now here's what it says. Quote, preliminary data from a collection of states over the last 6 months. First of all, realize she said a collection of states. Before we even get into the point that this is guessing from the beginning of the year, it wasn't even all of them, which, by the way, remember me telling you this from the Associated Press? Yep, because that was the truth. They didn't have the full data. They didn't have all the states. They didn't even have all the states reporting the same way. They have some of the states weren't even trying to report the breakthrough cases. And that's what we're finding out, the breakthrough cases and whether they were vaxxed or unvaxxed. So they knew that this was incomplete and they used that anyway as an absolute fact. Fauci, Biden, all of them. Let's keep going. Preliminary data, meaning not complete, from a collection of states, not all of them, over the last 6 months. She stated at a White House COVID press briefing on July 1st, suggests 99.5% of deaths from COVID-19 in these states have occurred in unvaccinated people. That was July 1st, right? That was the lie. And when it really proliferated, and even then she was telling you preliminary, a collection. She also said that unvaccinated Americans accounted for more than 97% of those hospitalized, which it's not true. I've literally shown you the information. Now it says other officials cited those rates in a constant refrain throughout July to encourage vaccinations. In response to a reporter's question on August 5th, I'll show you the video in a second, Walensky, the CDC director, acknowledged they were based on data from the first 6 months of the year. Are you kidding me? We're talking about the first 6 months. We hadn't even gotten into this conversation yet. And so they're using data. And by the way, I don't even know why in the world we would take that at face value. Because they're every step of the way, this is what we keep finding. Oh, wait a minute. That was incomplete. Oops, we took the wrong point. Oh, sorry. We used absolute risk instead of relative risk. Oh, sorry. Or the other way around. You know, oops, we used infection fatality, or we used case fatality rate instead of infection fatality rate. Our bad. Every single step of the way. Again, as I keep telling you, they will always, always rather be seen as incompetent than criminal. They are getting caught every step of the way. They use the first 6 months, which is not even relevant to where we are now. But even then, I question whether that's valid. But it says, as a result, they almost certainly overstated vaccine effectiveness against the Delta variant. They lied to you, since the time period included several months when most Americans were unvaccinated. Okay, so you take a timestamp from the time when most people were unvaccinated, and then you wonder why most of the people who are being... This is the point. Now, the 99% of the people unvaccinated, is that 50 of them, 100, 1,000? We don't even get that context. So this is a time when most people were unvaccinated. So if they're going to just take a broad sweep, most of the people who are struggling are going to be unvaccinated, whether or not that's even in regard to COVID-19 or anything else. And here we go, jumping into today, where we do see the data showing majority, which we'll show you again from Israel, as of today, vaccinated, and all they want to do is take a timestamp from before this started and say that makes sense for now. That is not an accident. That is not just waiting for data. That is a willful deception. 100%. And this is exactly what I told you was happening. Not because I was guessing, not because it was my opinion, but because I showed you where this came from. Associated Press, because of the information coming from the CDC, which they refrained from pointing out because it was incomplete. That's why she said preliminary from a collection. They lied to you. Walensky said then that the agency was updating the numbers. Get this. And she was confident that they would continue to show the unvaccinated Americans account for the most. Oh, so you haven't done it yet. We're updating them now. And you're confident it's going to show you what you've been telling us is the case based on early outdated information. I'm sure that's it. So we're going to take her word for it. Exactly. Sort of like the White House is doing when they just blindly take the word of the CDC, as they already admitted they're doing. This is how the illusion continues to proliferate, because everybody's blindly trusting these people, despite history showing us, even from the BMJ, even from the HHS and the WHO, that they have been caught lying about pandemics to push their own agendas more than once. This is willful ignorance if we're going to continue to ignore what's actually happening. Now, here is Robert Malone pointing out what Dr. Bridle is also saying. Now, this is the frustrating part of this, because here's Fox News. I said this the other day, that Robert Malone needs to watch our show, because he keeps citing things from Fox that we've talked about a month ago. Oh, here's a new study citing informed consent, you know, like things that we've talked about for years. I know our show is long. I get it. But the point is that continuing to lean into the mainstream part of this is, I think, what some of these people that are new to the game need to understand. They're part of the problem. But in this point, let's watch this video real quick so you can see what I mean. And here's what Ingram is going to say, which is what you've heard from me the entire time. But I just want you to hear what Walensky had to say.
This is becoming a pandemic of the unvaccinated.
We are seeing an outbreak of the unvaccinated.
And again, remember that they're saying those things, as we just revealed, at a time when they knew they were using data before it had started in the regard to this Delta push. When most of the people at that time were unvaccinated, they knew that. So how in the world can they say we're beginning to see a pandemic of the unvaccinated if what they're actually seeing is a shot from before this was going on? They're lying. Fauci, Walensky. I just don't even know how we can pretend that that wasn't that was a conscious choice.
I want to be crystal clear about what's happening in the country today. We have a pandemic of the unvaccinated.
Now, he's just mindlessly repeating because that's what he does.
Okay, the echo chamber. But is that true? The Biden administration has been citing data that 99% of COVID deaths and 95% of hospitalizations are among the unvaccinated. Well, it turns out that statistic is grossly misleading, something the CDC director inadvertently admitted today.
Those data were data that were from analyses in several states from January through June and didn't reflect the data that we have now from the Delta variant. We are actively working to update those in the context of the Delta variant.
Well, isn't that interesting, right? Exactly what we just told you. Several. She said several states, right? So not 50, not in 25, several. That's a guess. They're guessing. Then that's called cherry picking, too. And this is exactly what we keep pointing out.
Oh, really? Well, a vast majority of this country was unvaccinated, Rochelle, for the first 4 months of the year. Thus, the numbers would obviously skew toward those dying and hospitalized being in that category. So why is the CDC skewing the data? Joining us now is Dr. Byron Bridal, associate professor of viral immunology at the University of Guelph, who has been researching the COVID vaccine. Doctor, thank you for joining us in part two of this interview with you. Is it accurate to now call this a pandemic of the unvaccinated? Or do you think those who are vaccinated could also be contributing to the emergence of these new variants?
Hi, Laura. Thanks for having me back. Absolutely, it's untrue to be calling this a pandemic of the unvaccinated. In fact, I would argue that, and it's certainly untrue, that this flipping of the messaging to scare people into thinking that the unvaccinated are somehow driving the emergence of novel variants. This goes against every scientific principle that we understand.
Yep.
The reality is the nature of the vaccines that we are using right now and the way we are rolling them out are going to be applying the selective pressure to this virus to promote the emergence of new variants. Again, this is based on sound principles. We have to look no further than chemotherapy for cancers and the emergence of antibiotic-resistant strains of bacteria.
Exactly.
The principles are this. If you have a biological entity that's prone to mutation, and the SARS coronavirus 2, like all coronaviruses, is prone to mutation. So if you have a biological entity like that, and you apply a narrowly focused selective pressure that is non-lethal, and you do this over a long period of time, this is the recipe for driving the emergence of novel variants. And that's exactly what we're doing. Our vaccines are focused on a single protein of the virus. So the virus only has to alter one protein. And the vaccines don't come close to conferring sterilizing immunity. People who are vaccinated still get infected. It only seems to be particularly good at blunting the disease. And so what that tells you, therefore, is that these vaccines in the non-lethal pressure. Narrowly focused on one protein, and of course the vaccine rollout is occurring over a long period of time. That's the recipe for driving.
So that's driving the variants. And there's so it's exact. Absolutely. Your theory is that it's the exact opposite of what they're saying, because they're trying to demonize and intimidate those who have chosen not to be vaccinated for whatever reason. So they're to blame. They should be shunned. They should be punished, denied services. And stuff like that.
It's ridiculous. If anything, the unvaccinated are likely acquiring, probably in pretty substantial numbers, naturally acquired immunity, which I would argue from an immunological perspective is going to be much more protective than the vaccine-induced immunity against novel variants.
So, again, something the administration refuses to address head-on or accept, the idea that you have B or T-cell memory immunity to this ongoing virus, and that you would not then need a vaccine, correct?
Yeah, it's shocking to me as an immunologist because basically, yes, you are correct. Essentially, our immune systems actually work. They do respond to pathogens and they do protect us from pathogens. And there are published papers. People can look up a paper done by authors Seti and Karate that was published in a Nature journal. And it shows very clearly, as do several very good peer-reviewed publications, they show very clearly that naturally acquired immunity against SARS coronavirus 2 is very potent, it's very long-lasting, and importantly, in the context of novel variants, it's very broad in its scope. So it's going to be very balanced. We're going to have lots of antibodies and T cells. And the thing is, it targets multiple components of the virus. And this
not
is very
just the one protein. Not just, the one protein. And
exactly.
That's why
so that's just it. So, variants will occur. Yeah, exactly. So variants will occur that are going to be able to bypass the vaccine-induced immunity. But those viruses aren't going to be changing all the other components that people who have naturally responded are protected against.
Dr. Vridel, thank you.
God, I didn't even plan to play all of that, but it's just, I mean, literally everything they just discussed is breaking news is coming. I've been talking about this for months. Now, I'm not like, the reason I keep saying that lately, guys, is because, as you know, I've talked about this many times in regard. Oh, actually, before I forget, I wanted to grab this real quick. Since it's kind of what he's pointing to here, or, you know, is kind of the same. This is the discussion we've pointed out many times. Imperfect vaccination can enhance the transmission of highly virulent pathogens. I was talking about this before anybody was pointing about this anywhere on COVID-19. And then Joe Rogan talked about it on the show. Vaccines that can keep hosts alive, but still somehow allow transmission could thus allow very virulent strains to circulate in population. This is the variant discussion, right? And as he said, when he talked about it, nobody's talking about this. Oh, yeah, we've been talking about it for a long time. But the reason I keep pointing this out is, look, I know our show has largely become sort of a research hub. A lot of people will watch it and then use it and then not necessarily give credit. It's not even about the credit for me. What bothers me is the mainstream, not the independent, but the mainstream breaking this on Tucker and other places. And then again, I don't want people to be censored, but then not getting censored, which just shows you a uniform here that we're talking about this months before and being censored for it. And then it's allowed to come out. This is controlled flow of information. We need to see that. That doesn't imply that Vridel or people on those shows are part of that. Right. I mean, there's people are going on InfoWars and talking about stuff that I think are valid people. It's because they just are going anywhere they can to get the information out. I get that. But it's still frustrating for me to see that because it's constantly happening. But the reality here, guys, is this is an obvious deception. They're lying to you about what's really happening. Put that right there. And people like this are trying to tell you that, right? This is everything we've talked about, literally everything in that discussion. Now, here are some points. Oh, actually, you know what I'm going to do I might play this again. I'm going to play this because it seems more primed to what he was just talking about. Now, here again is exactly what he was just listing off in regard to natural immunity. Now, this is one of the great clips made by Star on our Instagram or TikTok or wherever else is being posted. I think we're this close to being censored on TikTok. But here is, I want you, this is a clip.
Of individual.
Of my discussion of natural immunity. It's a real quick breakdown of it. And that's why I want to play this instead of going over all the links again. I'll include this, which has all the links in the show notes on this link right here. All these are listed. And this is what's so frustrating is they're going natural immunity. And he even lists just a couple of them, nature, the one I keep showing you. But this is a no-brainer, guys. This is across the board, unequivocal. This is clear that you have lasting immunity according to their narrative, even though they're not talking about it, which is ridiculous. And it lasts and it's robust and all these different things they're talking about. And I'm even more so we'll get into next. But listen to this. All right, let's try it again. Good God. Anyone else think something's going on? All right. Well, let's just let it go and see when it starts playing and come back. If it ever does. Are you serious? Doesn't surprise me. Wow. Okay. Well, I guess we'll just let that load. I'm wondering if we're just out. Yeah, see, other things are loading. Hey, this is welcome to the technocratic future, guys. Well, let's circle back. I know some people hate that because that's a pasky term, I guess, even though it's been around forever. all right. Well, jumping forward, and we'll get to the natural immunity. I have to pull the damn links up myself. But the point is, this is what's happening in Israel right now. right? So Biden's over here saying 95% or 99% unvaccinated, even though they just admitted that that's not true. Several states from a time frame that was from when most people were unvaccinated. So that's a conscious choice to deceive you about what's happening. Oh, great. This one stopped loading and it didn't finish. Wow. That's pretty crazy. But they say, quote, there are so many breakthrough infections that they dominate, and most of the hospitalized patients are actually vaccinated, right? There's no hiding this. This is why they're not really talking about it anymore, right? What they're really trying to, what's happening here is ignoring the reality in the contrast to what their narrative is. It's, I mean, this is happening all over the place. Most hospitalized patients are actually vaccinated. This is why, this is how, the same way they're ignoring Sweden in general, the entire country, right? It just doesn't matter. Sweden is not part of the conversation. You know why? Because they have a 7-day average of zero deaths for a long time now, for months now. And they didn't lock down. They didn't force masks. They didn't, you know, any of this stuff. And they didn't force vaccination. So by their narrative, they should be crippled by COVID Delta variants. Nope, not even close. Nobody wants to explain that. They have the Delta. There's cases popping up, they claim, Delta variant. Okay, so I don't know how they would know that, first of all, seeing as how we already proved that they don't know whether it's Delta based on the test. They're using samples and guessing. The CDC admitted that too, guys. 90% Delta variant is a guess. They admitted that based on their sampling. It's incredible. Nope, stop loading again. Didn't play. Look at that. I'm going to try something really quickly. Now, jumping over to this article really quickly. A grim warning from Israel. Oh, I have this up actually coming up in a second. Here's from Bill Botel, AO, professor from UNSW Strategic Health Policy Consultant, especially related to global health and development. He says 78% of Israelis over 12 fully vaccinated with Pfizer. Over 12, excuse me, 78% of Israelis over 12 fully vaccinated with Pfizer. Almost 80%, well past the number they're claiming is necessary for herd immunity. I was looking on my phone to see if I could get that to play. Sorry for the dead air here. I'm so fascinated by how that's possible. And it's loading here. It's not like, it's just weird, guys. There's very focused manipulation, I think, in this. Oh, here we go. Let's see if this works for me. Different browser. See if we can just kind of maneuver around it. Ah, look at that. How does that even make sense? How is this one up and this one's not? Oh, look, finally loaded. Now that we got it. Anyway, let's play this since we're here, in case it doesn't work again. So here's your natural immunity discussion. Just with the clips, as I said, here's the link. All the links are here, and that's what's important.
Sal reports medicine. Now, here are some new studies. Here's one from Cell Reports Medicine. Longitudinal analysis shows durable and broad immune memory after natural infection. And guess what? With persisting antibody responses and memory B and T cells. That's a slam dunk. And this was, where was it? Right here. This was from July 20th, 2021. Here's The Lancet. June 1st, SARS-CoV-2 elicits robust adaptive immune responses regardless of disease severity. According to what they tell you, overall, the majority of patients have robust adaptive immune responses, regardless of the disease severity. Here's also the NIH from January 26, 2021, telling you lasting immunity found after COVID-19. You know, all the people we're supposed to be listening to, right? Here's Nature, most trusted scientific publications, May 26, 2021. Go at COVID, you probably make antibodies for a lifetime. Bone marrow cells that can churn out antibodies for decades, right? Probably make antibodies for the rest of your lives. And here's the WHO telling you, within 4 weeks, 90 to 99% of individuals who've been infected have detectable antibodies. Remember, that's regardless of whether it is severe, regardless of disease severity. So if not, up to 99% of people, regardless of how severe, do have these antibodies, and nature tells you they can last the rest of your life, right? And this most recent peer-reviewed study tells you that it is durable and robust. This is huge, July 26th. On top of that, here's one from March 15th that adds something even more important. Regardless of any of what we just told you, a majority of uninfected adults, people that have not even been affected with COVID-19, show pre-existing antibody reactivity. There's no misunderstanding this, and it comes from The Lancet, it comes from NIH, comes from Nature, comes from WHO, comes from a peer-reviewed scientific research. I mean, it just gets absurd that they're pretending this isn't there.
And that last part right there that it went that went away from was one of the lead people in the COVID response in Denmark, I believe. And he's come out saying the same thing, that we need to do natural immune. They need to naturally engage with this. And that's the only way this is going to stop. Nobody cares. Thank you, Star, for doing such a great job on these clips. It's just it's incredible to me. Now, as somebody's pointing out in the chat, it's not about the tabs. It's not about my memory, guys. I'm not a computer noob here. I have far more than 64 of RAM. The point is here, this computer is built out to be able to handle this, and it's not. Trust me, I've taken all the measures. We are flying, and it's still happening. Anyway, just so people are aware, I'm not implying I always think these things are manipulation. It's possible. I truly believe that's where we're going. But it is confusing when these things happen pretty consecutively, or computers crash every time before you're live, and on and on and on. But going forward, the point was back to this, that he's telling you that 80% of Israelis over 12 fully vaccinated with Pfizer, yet cases are surging. The deaths are not even close to comparable, but the cases are surging. Restrictions and lockdowns being reintroduced. Children infected, so they tell us. Pfizer efficacy perhaps waning after some months. Not perhaps, it absolutely is. They're claiming it's potentially down to zero. This is obvious. Now, also recognize, this is from August. This is from today. We've already told you this. This is not new information. But this is more definitive. Remember before it was, well, people that have got double injected, well, they can have the same levels. Well, guess what? The Telegraph is telling you that double jab people carry the same levels of COVID as unvaccinated. Shocking. I know, right? It's exactly what we keep telling you. Even the mainstream is reporting these things. So if the injected are carrying the same levels of COVID as unvaccinated, if they can catch and spread it like the unvaccinated, especially in regard to these new variants that aren't working for it, why are we pretending this is changing anything other than creating the circumstances that do create the variants based on the scientific research? Now, this is what I was showing you before, a grim warning from Israel: vaccination blunts but does not defeat Delta. Oh, exactly. So it has the perfect creation to create more. And this it's very possible this could have been the plan. It could have been designed at some level to make sure it would never stop. Maybe not with the plan to do terrible things, but you know, but ultimately, I don't believe that for a second, but ultimately to create the flu type cycle where every time you need the new one, instead of just having immunity, which is what they'd always pretend this is what this is about. But as they reiterate, 78% of those 12 and older fully vaccinated, the vast majority of the vaccine, yet the country is now logging one of the world's highest infection rates. With nearly 650 new cases daily per million people, more than half are in fully vaccinated people. The majority, just cases, not even getting into hospitalizations. We're talking about just cases here first. More than half of them, underscoring the extraordinary transmissibility of the Delta variant and stoking concerns that the benefits of the vaccine ebb over time, because they very much do based on all the research. Now, the transmissibility of Delta has been shown clearly based on their information, but it's also been shown very clearly to not be more dangerous. All the data, that's why they look anywhere you want in the mainstream. They're going to say maybe more dangerous after all this time. And you can clearly show based on the deaths not continuing to follow the cases that it's not very easy. And they just keep pretending they could be as we jump to the next one soon enough. But more than half. And all they're going to say there is, well, of course, that means it's working because these are all vaccinated people, except hospitalizations and deaths are also in that category. Now, it says the sheer number of vaccinated Israelis means some breakthrough infections are inevitable, of course, and the unvaccinated are still far more likely to end up in the hospital or die. That's not true. I've already shown you this more than once. This is a hospital director in Israel. He's been on the news talking about this. Over 90% of our patients are vaccinated. And this is many locations we pointed out, not just in Israel. The vaccine dissipates in front of our eyes, he says. Examples, even in the United States, showing you this. So they just state the narrative because that's what they do. It says, if it can happen here, it can probably happen anywhere. Israel is being closely watched now because it was one of the first countries out of the gate with vaccinations in December 2020. Exactly my point. And quickly achieved a degree of population coverage that was the envy of other nations for a time. Okay, so December 2020, and then very quickly reaching the population they were driving at, meaning herd immunity. So they got they reached herd immunity long before the Delta variant was surging. I keep telling you this. So based on their narrative, they should not be affected by it. How do you make sense of that? Did they reach herd immunity? Well, they claim they did well before everybody. Oh, the envy of everybody else. And yet here we are where Delta is ripping through them, specifically the vaccinated, yet their narrative says that shouldn't have been possible. So what's the point of pushing us to reach herd immunity if the next Delta variant is going to do the same thing based on their narrative? The point is it does not add up. They are all over the map and what they're trying to say makes sense. And the only thing they're trusting on, counting on, is that people out there are just going to blindly say, well, they said it, so it must be true. We're not children. You need to think for yourselves and recognize how flimsy this all is. Now, here is the most important point in this little part of the discussion. This is Science Magazine. Here's the actual post. This was also Science, by the way. But this one is saying ultra-potent antibodies. Ultra-potent antibodies against diverse and highly transmissible SARS-CoV-2 variants. Well, isn't that interesting? Here's what they put. This is what Science Magazine said about that study on their own Twitter account. Convalescent plasma, right? So remember, this is the blood coming from people that have already been sick, which is what Red Cross refused to take. Actually, that's a great clip to play that I played many times. I'll read it first. Convalescent plasma, so blood coming from people that have already been infected, from 22 people infected during the first wave of COVID-19, so way back in the beginning, contains 4 antibodies, they say, that are extremely potent against 23 variants of SARS-CoV-2, meaning variants that they say popped up after this happened, including, it says, several, quote, variants of concern. The ones right now they're trying to hype up about concerns about people that are vaccinated. Uh-oh, Lambda seems to be vaccine resistant. They're telling you that your 23 different variants, they have a variants of concern. Some of them you are completely, completely safe against based on what their argument is here. Ultra potent antibodies. Well, I guess completely wouldn't be a fair statement. Anything, you know, largely. But it says new research in the Science finds. Now, this is telling you clearly, and I'll read it from the article as well, that if you have been infected and you have natural immunity, that your antibodies are far, 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 far better than the injection. That you have extremely potent antibodies against 23 different variants. And yet they're telling you that every variant so far, every time we talk about a new variant, the injection is not working. And they're admitting that now, in particular against the Delta and the one that's next to become, the Lambda or whatever they're talking about, the one that's vaccine resistant. How are we still pretending this is happening? If we know that most people, remember, we already told you, their estimate is over 160 million people have been infected. 35 million they can prove. Prove is a bad word since we're using the PCR test. But the point is that their estimates are half the country have been infected and just a lot of them didn't even know because it wasn't that severe. And the point is that if half this country has natural immunity, which again, we just showed you the WHO, Nature, The Lancet, they're all telling you that that's the case and it's lasting possibly the rest of your life. And then we're finding out that you're resistant or better, you have extremely potent antibodies against even 23 variants of the original strain. I mean, good God. They don't want you seeing this. And here's Biden saying that 95% of the unvaccinated are, nope, fake news. We just told you that. That's fake news. All hospitalized, nope, that's also fake news. Mostly vaccinated are in the hospitals. And now we're finding out the natural immunity, which most people have, is better than anything else, like even against the variants. This is peer-reviewed science, guys. This is peer-reviewed scientific research from one of the most respected scientific publications in the country, in the world for that matter. And yet we're pretending like this isn't valid discussion points. I will be censored for talking about this. Here, again, even though this is on the Wayback Machine, since this has already been censored, is what I just played for you. A famous French vaccine expert, Professor Christian Perron, telling you that the vaccinated people are the ones that are spreading this. And that, in fact, he argues they are the ones that should be quarantined. Pretty interesting. Let me grab that clip for you real quick. Did I play that on? I think I played it on Twitter last time. So let me grab that and all system, that way I can actually. You know what? I don't know if I can save it from the Wayback Machine. Let's find out. 1 second. Gonna try to grab it for you. Of course not. Well, I'll play it from here and let's see if it's loud enough. Now, this is an important one.
People are at risk for the new variants and transmit it. It's proven now in different countries. So vaccinated people... are at risk for the new variants and transmit it. It's proven now in different countries. So vaccinated people should be put in quarantine and should be isolated from the society.
Now, good enough. You got the isolated part. Of course, it's being manipulated. But the point here is that he is telling you, obviously, just like we told you, the scientific research is showing you that the vaccinated are vulnerable against the variants and that they can spread it to each other. And he's saying that they should be the ones quarantined. Now, that's an expert opinion. Of course, they won't show it to you because they don't like what he says. Apparently, the media dictates who an expert is today, which is ridiculous. Now, I wasn't going to play into this a little bit, but I think I'm just going to leave this for you to look at. The bottom line is they just had an hour-long conference at the White House about how this thing doesn't work, right? After they've been telling you it works and it works against and it protects you completely against the new variant. They've been saying, they're saying that today. And here they have a whole conference that shows you that it's not. Bottom line is, at best, it's coming down to less than 50% effective, even in regard to reducing your moderate to mild symptoms. It doesn't stop transmission. They've already admitted this to you, Delta or not. And this is becoming obscene. Like, I don't even understand how people are still going along with this when they're showing you the data that shows that this decreases. You're going to have a booster shot every 6 months. And we just showed you that all of the people that they're telling you to listen to are telling you that natural immunity, which most of you have, is lasting for the rest of your life, most likely. And not just against sterilizing immunity. We're talking about T cell. We showed you the studies from before. This is what they are pretending that this vaccine can do. That's what all of these injections are striving to accomplish, is what the natural immunity does. It's all there for you to look at, all the scientific research. If you're just not shaking your head conspiracy theory, then you're willfully ignorant right now. You're choosing to ignore the peer-reviewed research that shows you that's wrong. Crazy. Now, COVID vaccine protection, as they're telling you, decreases over time. These are U.S. officials saying this, of authorizing the booster shots. Of course they are. So why would we get a booster shot? Oh, by the way, one thing I forgot to say from Dr. Byron Bridle's points is that the injection, if you have natural immunity, has been shown to be dangerous. At the very least, not having any effect. And that's important. Now, I'm not going to try to find it real quick, but I've shown you that many times. That's a peer-reviewed scientific research finding that there's no effect. There's no point in taking it if you already have been infected. It doesn't have an effect for you. In fact, it has been shown in other studies to have damaging effects. In fact, increasing your negative side effects, right? So why are we pushing a booster on people or an injection for people who already have natural immunity, right? This is why they're kicking people out of their countries who have verifiable natural immunity, according to their doctors, because they don't have the injection. That is literally unscientific. They are ignoring the people they're telling you to listen to. It's embarrassing.
Now, here are some new studies. Here's one from Cell Reports Medicine. Longitudinal analysis shows durable and broad immune memory after natural infection. And guess what? With persisting antibody responses and memory B and T cells. That's a slam dunk. Antibodies for the rest of your lives. And here's the WHO.
It just blows my mind. It really does. Like, I just can't even believe that that's happened. That's just crazy. Even as much as we know this is a worldwide psyop, I can't believe how obvious this stuff is. Now, as somebody points out, people who are pushing the vaccine should understand the denial of natural immunity is a major contributing factor in vaccine hesitancy. The denial is so contrary to the science that it makes people suspicious there is a greater agenda at play. Yes, exactly. As I said, I'm just like, because there is quite obviously a greater agenda at play here. If we are afraid to say that because conspiracy theory, then we are children being led by the nose. I mean, are we really afraid to point out something that obvious? I mean, for crying out loud, obviously. Why in the world? What are we pretending, that they all don't know about that scientific research? The stuff that came from the NIH that Fauci doesn't know about? Come on. They're willfully ignoring this very obvious and historically relevant part of this conversation. If you think that's not a choice, then you're lying to yourself. This is why we're laughing about how ridiculously obvious this is. in a macabre sort of way. But then let's bring it over to the side effects that we're seeing. And this is crazy to me. We are watching things happen in real time. And this is one of the biggest that I've seen. I don't want to actually play the volume. So here is Australian Minister Victor Dominello, probably Dominello in Australia. He's just diagnosed with Bell's palsy. And this is the thing that the people saw, his eye and his face start to droop during a briefing. Now, the important part about this is nobody's reporting this in any context whatsoever related to the injection, except the fact that we've been proven pretty clearly that Bell's palsy has been shown to be a pretty prominent side effect. They claim, oh, it goes away in a couple of days. It's not worth reporting, which is just ridiculous to me. But here is the main report. Victor diagnosed with Bell's palsy. After viewers spot drooping eye in the press conference, it says the NSW customer service minister has received a diagnosis of Bell's palsy after worried viewers saw his face and asked him to seek medical attention. He said the calls prompted him to seek help, having previously experienced pain in his skull behind his right ear and pins and needles on the right side of his tongue. Yeah, because that's really commonly associated with Bell's palsy. Not at all, right? So what we're talking about here are obvious multiple symptoms of what we continued to see after people getting the injection. And it says, he said the diagnosis of Bell's palsy was a reminder to everyone to look after their health. We are focused on COVID, but there are plenty of other health problems going on. If you have any health concerns, please get them looked after. Yeah. How about we find, at least acknowledge the connection. Now, here's something important. Here's a screenshot of where he's saying on his Twitter account, it appears, I personally believe vaccination is our pathway out of the pandemic. Actually, you know what? I take that back. This doesn't look like the Twitter account. That looks like Facebook. So I'm going to take back the next point that I was going to make. I couldn't find it on his Twitter account, but what I did find is on his Instagram account. I'd like to see if anybody could find out if that post is still on his Facebook account. I'd like to see that. But here, just so we're clear, is very clearly what happened. He got his injection on May 26th of AstraZeneca. Right here, very clear. Here's where he's posting. He got his second, or not a second, but his, vaccine passport, the thing that's supposed to be not happening, fake news conspiracy theory. But here it is. I got it. All right, so the fact that he now has Bell's palsy in one side of his face and he experienced tingling behind his ear or skull, or pain behind his ear and tingling behind his tongue and needles. And I mean, good God, how are we pretending like this isn't an obvious reality or possibility, I meant to say? It's pretty incredible to me. Now, I want to jump over to this person who I've talked about in the past, but I wasn't sure. There was a video of these two women who call themselves like the Tremor Twins or something like that. And even I kind of thought it was interesting. I was like, well, the Tremor Twins, like it just kind of seemed like, and they were kind of joking about it, but you know, good for them for making light of something to keep themselves positive. Somebody sent this to me and this appeared, this is her Instagram account. And I just want to play this again, because this clearly appears to be something that this is literally happening all over the place. There is I've played that before. I played you that like 5-10 minute long compilation, which doesn't even touch the surface of people who are dealing with exactly like things like this and are not being regarded as actual problems. Oh, you got a mental problem, or oh, we don't know for sure. And no one's helping them. No one's dealing with it because no one's accountable for it. So listen to what she has to say. And I urge you to look at her account and look at this stuff for yourself.
Okay, so I'm going to try this again. I have a 2-year-old and a 6-year-old who my daughter is right now just not able to help me with right now. So I'm going to try to do this again. Okay. So I'm doing this on Instagram because I'm realizing that a lot of people, I'm realizing that a lot of people are following my story a little late. I don't really get on Instagram much. I post here and there. Mostly I'm on Facebook. But again, this is the first time I've gone public. This public, I guess, with everything that's happening to me. So I want to address a few things.
Now, it's a long post. Okay, now the bottom line is this is happening, right? No matter what you think of this, and the reason that this feels more legitimate to me is just because of what's going on in her post and everything else. But the bottom line is this has been proven to take place. People are having Bell's palsy. Remember that interview that Del Bigtree did with the three women that were dealing with this, all the nurses that came out with this right in the beginning and said, look at this happening to me. I can't stop shaking. I can't stop. Or the mom that was trying to walk out of her room and her daughter was filming and she was tremming and falling over the place. This is absolutely happening and none of them are being dealt with. Every single one of them was on the Del Bigtree's interview. None of them have been dealt with. None of them. They've all been, they're being told they're crazy. It's just sickening to me. While we've proven that this is to some degree happening, like they've admitted this grudgingly, same with like myocarditis and all, but yet nonetheless, we see it, someone claiming it, and the doctors go, no, it's probably not. We don't know for sure. We can't prove it. Those aren't doctors. If that's what your doctor's saying, then you should go somewhere else because they don't even care to hear what you're saying. They're telling you what they want you to think instead of actually listening to what you've dealt with and looking at the research and the literature and finding out that it is very clearly happening. It's very sad. Now, here's a discussion of myocarditis. More scientific research, as they pretend it's super, super rare, hyper eosinophilic syndrome, if I'm probably mispronouncing that, with myocarditis after inactivated SARS-CoV-2 vaccination. So this is not the mRNAs. But remember, the fact that all of these seem to lead to the same side effects is an indication that the spike protein, which is what they all drive toward, every one of them, mRNA or not, they drive toward creating the spike protein is exactly, I think, the problem, or it, by and large, which we've already shown. They've shown you that it can cause disease by itself, just the spike protein, and yet we're injecting a thing that creates the spike protein. That makes perfect sense. Now, also realize there's vaccines that are targeted at exactly the spike protein. How does that even make sense? How do we have injections that are targeting the spike protein as the problem, yet the mRNA injections and all the rest of these are putting in your body to create the spike protein? And then we already showed you the research that it shows very clearly based on peer-reviewed scientific studies that this circulates through your blood within an hour. 11 out of 13 people had it circulating in their blood after an hour. It says a young man without any comorbidities presented with persistent periobridal baggy swelling along with itchy swelling over fingers, resting tachycardia and exertional breathlessness following first dose of an inactivated SARS-CoV-2 vaccination. And this is the COVAX, and this is the India one, which, by the way, works with biotech just like the Pfizer one does. On investigation, patient had elevated blood, eosinophilus and myocarditis. He was successfully treated with steroid and supportive treatment. This is all over the place. And what we're seeing here is that that word basically means readily stained by eosin. Not sure what that means, but anyway, myocarditis that we are seeing. And this is after one injection, just one. How much more do we need to see? Here's another one. Multicenter case series of post-COVID-19 mRNA injection myocarditis in those under 21 years old revealed. Wait, that's over 21 years old. I always forget that. That's so strange. All right, so it is over. That's funny. No, it is less. That's so strange. I don't know why I always get those confused. You think I could just remember, but every time I look at both. So under 21 or 21 or under is what that line means. Revealed 49, 56, 88% with CMR data had late gadolinium enhancement, LGE, a marker associated with 5 times increased risk for long-term major adverse cardiac events. Here's the study itself. Now, COVID-19 vaccination associated myocarditis in adolescents. Now here is, I'm not going to include this because I have to close some tabs in a second, but here's the full study. It's linked right there. You can read it for yourself. The point is that what we're talking about here is that the increased risk, 5 times increased risk for long-term major adverse cardiac events for people that are literally at zero risk. Now I had that up somewhere else. I'll show you later in the show, but remember, 19 years old, one in a million chance you're going to die. That's according to Oxford. One in a million. 20, and we're talking about 21 under. They're forcing this on people over 12. And yet they're giving them a gigantic 5-time increased risk for long-term major adverse cardiac events. There's so many peer-reviewed scientific studies right now that are finding associations with these things, and it's just being disregarded. But trust the science, right? Here's a doctor telling you, my medical doctor, my doctor's office is different now. Every day seeing or hearing of several severe adverse vaccination reactions. How much longer? How many more deaths? This person says, never forget that they're trying to mandate something that is harming and killing people. Now, you can argue how many, right? That, oh my gosh, the COVID dangers make it justified to hurt a couple people. And then they'll say that, but that does not change the fact that that's true. I disagree with the first part of it. I think there's far, far, far more danger inside of this than there are the there's far more risks than there are benefits for people under 50, most of them anyway, even over that. But the bottom line is, this is a true statement. This thing is 100% hurting and killing people, which by definition makes it dangerous. And they're mandating it, trying to. Let's see how long that lasts until people finally wake up. That's what he said. Now here is Alyssa Milano and her uncle involved in a car accident after she suffered a medical incident while driving, after he suffered it. Now, to cut to the chase on this, this is pretty revealing to me, especially since the reality is we're seeing a lot of people who are getting injected and then crashing their cars. Now it says, her uncle's medical episode, which later revealed to be a heart attack. Quote, we should all take every opportunity to have to protect the people we love, get vaccinated, wear masks, lock up your guns. Okay, so the point here is that she's telling people to go get vaccinated. We should all take these precautions. And I simply just said, except when that injection can cause you to pass out behind the wheel. Hashtag vaccinants. I mean, it's amazing that there's so much evidence of these kind of things happening where people are having these kind of pass out incidences, having Bell's palsy or tremors or whatever else, and having accidents, and nobody cares. Look at this. Boom. This is a person in a wheelchair. They have to drag out of the wheelchair. God, it's crazy. It's just people are having these kind of pass out right after injection issues all over the place. And here's Biden telling you, I've already outlined vaccine requirements that will reach millions of Americans. Remember when required vaccines in the context of COVID-19 was a crazy conspiracy theory? Quote, he says, today I'm announcing a new step. If you work in a nursing home and serve Medicare or Medicaid enrollees, you will also be required to get injected. Required. This is mandatory vaccination from the government. Conspiracy theorists, right again, I guess, right? Now, this is a more specific that he kind of didn't want to say in his tweet. I'm not surprised why. He's going to require the nursing staff to have vaccinations. Guess what? As a condition for federal funds. So you won't even get funding. So they're changing the way they're changing their fundamental, the way that they engage with any sort of funding for medical treatment, for medical institutions, for individuals. This is changing medical treatment exactly like we told you it would. Now there's more than 23,000 doctors that have dropped out of the campaign for vaccination because people are continuing to have the courage to stand up and fight against this. But the White House is expecting to advise most Americans to get their third shot, regardless of everything we just showed you, coming soon. Most of you, right? Anybody out there who's already got this thing, most of which already have natural immunity, which was hurt. Oh, you know what? And I forgot to play that clip. That was one of the things I wanted to play. I just realized in regard to the convalescent blood. Did we skip that somehow? What did I skip? Oh, well. I don't know. I know there was an important point in there somewhere that I totally skipped over. Right, here we are. Convalescent plasma from 22 people infected during the first wave contains these antibodies. So sorry to jump back to this point, though. This was important. I've played that clip many times. But what they're telling you is the convalescent plasma is by far, I mean, it contains all these, what do they call it? An ultra potent antibodies that deal with all these different variants. But when they tried to use this convalescent blood with people who already had the injection, well, for those that haven't seen this will be pretty shocking.
And your COVID-19 vaccine, you're going to want to listen to this. The Red Cross says anyone who has received their COVID-19 vaccine cannot donate convalescent plasma to help other COVID-19 patients in hospitals. That plasma is made up of antibodies from people who have recovered from the virus, but the vaccine wipes out those antibodies, making the convalescent plasma ineffective in treating other COVID-19 patients.
Now, remember, we also have that scientist from Pfizer who is sitting, that made big news only in the internet media, where he said the same thing. He said this has less, the neutralizing, sterilizing antibodies, which is the gold standard. And, you know, and he said that it was less in the people who had vaccinated. This is crazy. All of this is out there for you to look at. And the reality is that if what they're doing is injecting people and it's removing the antibodies, and this is why they can't use this blood that is clearly the best thing for these people. Is that a choice? Is that a failure? Does it really matter? It's crazy. But which brings us back to the point here that we're talking about a situation where they're forcing a booster shot on people as this. I mean, think about this. All the people out there who had natural immunity are being forced to take this thing that takes away their immunity. This is damn nefarious. And this is what I was talking about before. There's no way somebody at some level does not know what we're talking about here. Oh, and if they don't, of course, we're going to remove their funding. Most Americans. It says, fiercely opposed to the use of booster shots now, the World Health Organization says the move will undoubtedly exacerbate inequality. Oh, right. Okay, because this is where we shift over to the joke about how we're trusting the WHO guidelines right up until we don't like what they're saying and we're not going to listen anymore. Except you have to, or censor you. I mean, do we not realize how dumb this looks? Like, how do we trust the guidelines or do we not? Am I being censored for challenging those guidelines and you're not trusting them? I mean, it's just dumb. And the point, of course, is that they're saying that it's because inequality. But remember, in the very beginning, the WHO said that they didn't endorse the boosters for not just inequality. It was because of the scientific studies were not done. Now we're just shifting over into the concept that it's because inequality. But either way, they're telling you we shouldn't be doing this. And our government's going, shut up, WHO. We're going to do what we want, which is typical for the U.S. government, except we're still being censored for challenging what they just, a group that they just disregarded. Just like the group also said, you shouldn't be using lockdowns. And they said, shut up, WHO. We like the lockdowns. We're going to do them anyway, but you can't challenge them. The shots are coming. The boosters are coming your way and you should run screaming because here's something that already happened. Allergic reaction following third COVID jab sends this person to the hospital. Get ready for the continuing growth of the same problem that nobody wants to acknowledge. And this person points out there have been more shootings in Chicago. This is in contrast to New York than COVID deaths these last few weeks. What's the real epidemic? Good point, right? So 56 shot, 8 fatally in Chicago, right? Here we're talking 8 deaths in over a 7-day average in New York. Okay, so why, again, nobody's screaming about how Chicago, right? I made this point back in regard to the other shootings. We'd have like a mass shooting and people would scream about it. We talk about it for six straight weeks. The point, and you'd point over here and be like, look at Baltimore, look at Chicago. Twice as many people were shot last night. No one cares about that. Are those lives less important? It's context, it's politics, it's narrative, guys. And he's making an excellent point here. Or how about the idea that in the tuberculosis point? That before in 2019, over 1 million people died worldwide of tuberculosis. Where was the tuberculosis pandemic? Same concept. Why was that not pointed out? Because it's not the narrative. We have to see this stuff. This is very, very obvious. Now, here's a really important point from True North. By the way, another person on Super U, or group on Super U, does a great job. Defense Department website tells employees vaccine mandate not legal. Except the problem is they're doing it, though. And here's the funniest part about this. Right. So as they're pushing this, despite the obvious reality that the deaths are not there, that it's bottoming out in most places, their website, this is the Department of Defense. This is regard to Canada. It still says on their website, this is illegal, except the update at the top says we're going to force it, though. This should make you laugh out loud. It says, as Justin Trudeau pushes the mandatory vaccination of federal public servants and those working in federally regulated sectors, A Department of National Defense webpage tells employees that while vaccination is encouraged, management, quote, cannot require a public servant, which means all the people we're talking about, to get a vaccine, nor is mandatory vaccination supported under Canadian law. Isn't that fantastic? Now, on Wednesday, a section was added at the top of the page notifying the Department of National Defense staff, the same people they just said we couldn't do this for, the public servants. Or, I mean, I don't know, maybe the staff is kind of a sidestep of that, and maybe the public servants only mean the politicians. I would disagree with that. But in any case, it says, and enlisted a Canadian Armed Forces members of the government's forthcoming vaccine mandate, but the former information which says the mandate is unlawful remains anyway. It's ridiculous. It says, quote, there will be no negative impacts to your employment or your career should you choose not to receive the COVID vaccine, the website says, in accordance with current information from government and public health officials, the COVID-19 vaccine will be voluntary, but is recommended for everyone's safety to decrease the spread of COVID in the workplace. So these are all still on the website. I'll show you next. Another section on the website says, quote, employees are not required to disclose to anyone whether or not they've been vaccinated, as this is a private medical information. I almost can't even say that without saying misinformation. Now, here's what it says at the top of the website. Just so we're clear, here's what he's pointing to. All the way down here where it says, all defense team members are encouraged to get it, but it says healthcare vaccine or staff are responsible. The healthcare said blah, 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 blah. Management cannot require a public servant to get the vaccine, nor is mandatory vaccinations supported under Canadian law. It still says that on this website. Look what it says right here. In the light of the announcement made Friday, August 13th, by the government of Canada, COVID-19 vaccinations will be required for federal public service employees and Canadian Armed Force members. How is that even possible? I mean, this is the most incompetent thing I've ever seen. This can't be incompetent versus criminal. This is just incompetent and criminal. They are literally telling you on the top of this website that they're going to force you to take an injection. But then at the bottom, it says we can't force you to take an injection because that's contrary to Canadian law. Are we clear on how broken everything is? These people are drowning in their lies. And it's because of people like you. It's because of platforms like SuperU. By the way, if you're not familiar, superu.net is where you should be going anywhere other than YouTube. But right now, it's because of platforms like that. It's because of platforms like T-Lab. It's because of everybody in the independent media that is battering down their broken garbage dumpster fire of a narrative. It's embarrassing. How can you simultaneously say that this is a crime while saying that we're going to do it and we're allowed to? It's crazy. So good catch by True North. It just shows you that we're the ones that are being dishonest are the people trying to claim they're fighting for your freedom and your safety and your health. It's ridiculous. Now here is, I'm glad I remember this. I actually forgot. Here's Trudeau, again, telling you exactly what that website says they're not allowed to do. It's great stuff. It's great stuff. But Trudeau, you know, it's all about the truth over there, right? Oh, there it is.
Line is, if anyone who doesn't have a legitimate medical reason for not getting fully vaccinated chooses to not get vaccinated, there will be consequences. We move forward. But the bottom line is, if anyone who doesn't have a legitimate medical reason for not getting fully vaccinated chooses to not get vaccinated, there will be consequences.
There it is. Consequences, right? Not just, you know, we'll have to circle back or restrict consequences. Like these are threats. People have been talking about, people are feeling openly threatened by what's happening right now. And that, I even saw somebody just post a comment that said, like, right now, the entire country, not the United States, is playing a game of chicken right now with each other. It's absolutely accurate. I mean, it's pretty crazy what's happening. I mean, people, this is a standoff right now. They're screaming at the people. They're trying to propagandize and batter them down to think that they're on the wrong side, the 50% of the country that's refusing this dangerous thing. And all they can do is just keep screaming at them. I mean, it's a game of chicken, hoping that they will break before they instead jump over or break instead of hold the ground, right? So he's saying you have to do this. Right? If you don't, there'll be consequences unless you've got a valid medical situation, which they'll decide if it's valid. Except that's contrary to Canadian law. Anybody confused? Well, don't worry about the facts, because regardless of that, we're already edging into the reality that they're going to have medical pre-crime real soon, which, by the way, has already been laid out. Remember Whitney Webb and I talked about this on one of our shows, which, by the way, I got to have her back on soon, but that there's plenty going on for her as well. But we're going to have her back on to go through one of our routine, you know, shows where we kind of break down and estimate about going forward. But we talked about this months ago. I think we might have been talked about this in 2020. The idea that it was in Pittsburgh, I believe, where they were already laying the groundwork for this wastewater management, this wastewater detection plot thing. Basically, what was the right word for that? Wastewater detection infrastructure. There it is. Now, the point is, they're testing this and they're claiming that this is a way to tell you if you're about to get sick. I don't know why we would trust them to let us know that. As it says, Orange County, and I believe this is in Florida, Orange County. Yeah, Florida is one of the, oh, shocker, it's Florida, right? This, you'll see what I mean. One of the dozens partaking in national wastewater surveillance. By the way, isn't that a violation of privacy to some degree? That seems really weird to me, because there's DNA there as well, I would argue. I guess it'd be hard. Anyway, in partnership with the CDC, sampling for SARS-CoV-2 RNA in the water. Now, how are they testing for that? That's a good question to ask, of course, that they don't get into here. Can help protect viral spread and where an impending outbreak might occur. Medical pre-crime. Torres said having advance notice on where to expect an uptick in illness can help officials prepare resources ahead of time to help stifle the spread. Now, here's the scenario that will be happening if we allow this to take place. Even if there are valid cases, at some point, there will be somebody, a level of our government, that's going to go, okay, we want this to happen because of that protest, because of this agenda, because of this foreign policy, whatever it is, or because we feel like it. We're going to shut this area down under the guise there's an upcoming pandemic. And then when it doesn't happen, we're going to go, see, it works. Because we got ahead of it, it didn't happen. Do we ever get to know if it was even real to begin with? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Now, if you think that that hasn't happened, you're lying to yourself. Whether we're talking foreign policy, health, politics, anything, they do this on a regular basis. They being the hierarchy enslaving you, the acronym, if you want that, or just your government, however you want to play it. Obviously, our government has in history abused the situation of our trust and argued things were happening that weren't happening to justify their actions when they were covered by what they've already laid the groundwork for in previous political discussions. It's obvious. So as we stare at this, realize this is your medical pre-crime and this is just the testing, but they're already discussed the concept of, I'm actually going to circle back probably in the near future to discuss Grignard Pure. Remember that company we talked about where I got them on the phone discussing how this was dangerous around people, even though they're already using these things in crowded areas where people are? It's that stuff that uses TEG, the triethylene glycol, sort of the fog machine stuff. That's already being used. They're already implementing this stuff all around for different crowded areas. And I talked to the woman on the phone and she said, that's dangerous. I got it all on the record. I did the show a long time ago. That seems to be coming back up again. EPA's allowing this in certain locations. Right. This is going to be where in conjunction with that, remember, they've already told us they have devices like that that can sense in the air and tell you whether there's COVID-19 in certain high levels in certain areas. Those are going to be on post to post, probably right next to the 5G posts that go in the same different, 20 different feet apart from each other because, 5G is shorter wave, stronger, but shorter wave, blah, blah, blah. But if they have these things posted along every side street, and they've got tests under your wastewater, there's going to start to be alarms, bells, whatever, notifications on your vaccine passport to say, hey, you're in a zone that we think there's about to be an outbreak. Everybody lock down, put your masks on. This is your future. And this is how they're laying the groundwork for something just like that. Now, using the illusion of this, again, continuing to make the hype about it, the fear, they're continuing to push that we need those boosters. We need the next shot. We need the next one, the one after that. Well, here is an interesting example of how that's already happening. Despite the fact that that's completely, illegal is the wrong word because none of this is really legal at all, anywhere. But the concept of mix and matching these injections is still, as of August 12th, on the FDA's documentation against the rules. But it's happening everywhere. It's happening all across the board, boosters or anything else. We already showed you that there were people that were sneakily going to get boosters long before it was even approved, and doctors were allowing it because everybody thinks, well, it's all vaccines good, right? Because that's the point. That's why children were getting this long before they were allowed to, as we proved to you on theirs. Two-year-olds having issues, not even the trials either. People who were 10, 12, long before that was allowed, having issues because it was being given to them before it was allowed because, well, of course, it's safe. Because the injections are safe. They said it was safe and effective. It's only the emergency use authorization version. People actually believe this way. Somebody got the Johnson & Johnson injection. They died. Now it says other medications. Look at that. You know what that is? That is the Moderna injection. So this person has a Moderna injection, has other medications, and got the Johnson & Johnson. This is a mix and match. This person died. Of course, breakthrough COVID cases, suspected COVID infection. Of course. Spontaneous report received from patient by the other company, Pfizer received, right? This is crazy. Now, the point here, guys, now I'm going to go back to this first because this is the only candid response I've ever seen from one of these doctors. This is back from January 1st of the year, 2021. And then I'll show you what the FDA document says as of August 12th. But this is back when they first proposed the concept of mixing and matching different types. Remember, we're talking about Johnson & Johnson, these are one versus two shots, different temperatures of holding, different times of, these are different things entirely, different vaccine technologies. And we're pretending that you can just mix them? I mean, that's just ridiculous. And yet they're going right along with it. What does that show you other than that the bottom line is getting this in your arm? As their own expert said when they proposed this, there is no data whatsoever, according to Cornell University vaccine expert John Moore. Speaking with the Times, he added that the UK officials, quote, seem to have abandoned science completely and are just trying to guess their way out of a mess. It says the update also stands in contrast to the guidelines established by the CDC, you don't say, which explicitly states that the vaccines are not interchangeable. However, these mRNA injections are not interchangeable with each other or with other COVID-19 products. Now, there's also a document from the CDC that says the same thing, but since it says it right here, I figured that was sound, and I've shown you that CDC document. Here's the FDA. This is from, here's the date you can see right here, August 12th, same document, or technically here, that's not the same document. Let me show it to you on here. Two points, different documents. Here is the updated document that I'm looking at right now. This is August 12th. I just have it screenshotted so I can look at this one part. Can I receive the Pfizer BioNTech COVID vaccine with other vaccines? There is no information on the use of Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine with other vaccines. So we're giving it to people without knowing what could happen. You know, such as people dying like this. You know, who knows? Roll the dice because, oh, it's so much dangerous. That, nope, not true. Because if you're under 50, one in a million, or one in a million under 19, under 50, it was one, it was a 0.008%. You're not at risk, guys. You're not at risk. You're not at risk. Keep to understand that the Oxford calculator continues to show you the reality. Here, while I've got this on this first tab, let me close some of these real quick. Make sure I'm not deleting things that I want to save for you. Okay, here we go. Where were we? Here we are. So they don't know. Yeah, that's the right spot. That's weird. I thought I lost a spot. They don't know what these things will do with each other. And this is the crazy part about all the information on this FDA document is most of these things are being challenged. Right? I mean, here's an example. Currently, there's no approved alternative vaccine available. Well, they changed this, by the way, over the time. In the beginning, it just said no alternative. Because there is. There's plenty of alternatives. They just don't want you to think that. Because if there was alternatives, well, then they wouldn't be allowed the emergency use for these injections. Because that's one of the main points of emergency use is there can't be any other viable alternative. That's why they keep fighting against ivermectin and everything else. Vitamin D, for that matter. I wasn't even going to get into this today. But no, that's not the right one. But there's a study on vitamin D, which I might as well show you since I pointed it out, from August 2011. Right? Long before we got here. And just note one quick line. Deficiency in vitamin D is associated with increased autoimmunity as well as an increased susceptibility to infection. All right? But fake news today, right? Fake news because we can't allow you to have any kind of alternative that would challenge the emergency authorization. But point is the crossover with the injections. Now, here is the next part. The difference between these two documents, just so we're clear, one of these is about you. Right. One of these is about the recipients and the caregivers. And one of these is about, I'll show you what it says up top. Healthcare providers. Right. So one of them is what they're telling the nurses and the doctors. And one of them is what they're telling you. Now, I find odd that it's so different. It seems pretty dishonest if I'm quite honest about it. But here is on the one they give to the doctors and the nurses. And understand that these are the very people who are administering these interchangeable shots. It says vaccination schedule for individuals 12 and older. It says there are no data available on the interchangeability of the Pfizer BioNTech COVID-19 vaccine with other COVID-19 vaccines to complete the vaccination series. That's another point. So this, just so we're clear on this is as of August 12th, and they're telling them we don't even know what's going to happen. There's no data on what happens with these other ones in regard to specifically to complete the vaccination series. And yet they're doing it all over the place. Like I said, this person died because of it, or at the very least in accompanied other part of it, or at the very least, make it very clear. They got injection of two different kinds of vaccines and they later died. That's what happened. Now, is that what happened? The catalyst? Well, it clearly seems to make the case from this guy from Cornell University, this vaccine expert who says that it's not scientific at all. It's dangerous. And they're telling people we don't have the evidence for it. Now, this last part says, the third dose of the Pfizer injection administered at least 28 days following the first two doses, administered for 12 years of age, who have undergone solid organ transplantation or who are diagnosed with conditions that are considered to have an equivalent level of immunocompromise. So let me ask you this. If the only people who are legally, according to the FDA, allowed to have one of the boosters are people who have undergone transplants or immunocompromised, explain for me how people all over the place are right now getting boosters. Anybody care to explain that? How did this person get it? How are people getting it anywhere? We read a mainstream article where one of these health writers were talking about how people all over the country were quietly getting boosters because they just wanted to. So how is that happening? Aren't we supposed to be followed? Obviously, you get the point. We are the only ones being held to any kind of a standard. The ones that are on the side of pro-vaccine, pro-mask, it doesn't even matter. Go ahead and give it to that five-year-old. It's probably safe because we know it's only the anti-vaxxers that are shopping. It's just crazy to me. Bottom line, though, mix and match is a crime. They're hurting people, and they don't care. Meanwhile, making it mandatory. You know, just like the people screaming on Twitter said would never happen. California now requires proof of vaccination, negative COVID-19 test for indoor events larger than 1,000 people. And I made the joke the other day. Well, it's good. Then just make it 999 and you're good. Because that means totally right. So you're standing in a huge crowd of 999 people and you're safe. According to California, you're totally good. You're safe. But if one more person adds to that group, everybody must lock down and add masks because we're in danger now. Make sense? Now, obviously, when you're making, you have to apply. Like, if it was simply a danger, and it really was, it wouldn't be 999, then 1,000 makes it dangerous. It would just be, you can't do that. Right? I'm not saying that's something they should be allowed to do. My point is, this is arbitrary and ridiculous. Why 1,000? Right? A negative test? You mean the PCR test that has a huge false positive rate? Or a proof of vaccination that doesn't stop transmission when you still have the same viral load? Yeah, it all makes sense, doesn't it? Perfectly adds up. Everyone can share it. Everyone can transmit the same viral load. And I mean, the bottom line is people who are unvaccinated, who have natural immunity, are the safest ones in any part of this category. All the variants and everything as well. They're not sick. They're not spreading it. They're not catching it. And all we can do is keep blaming them. That's all based on the peer-reviewed scientific research. The good part is that even in France right now, you know, the other place where the fake news vaccine passports were not supposed to be happening, businesses are refusing to enforce them. Which is going to happen everywhere. And I think that's what we need to do. Like the person said, this is a big game of chicken right now. Stand your ground. Stand for what you believe in a nonviolent way, in my opinion. That's what I believe in. But here's what's happening in France right now. And this is actually really crazy. People have been pointing this out. This is what's going to cause violence. And that's probably what they want. As soon as some kind of person, they want to frame as anti-vax or anti-mask, tries to take some kind of violent act against somebody who's refusing them access to food, they're going to blame that on some kind of terrorist act. That's going to be some January 6th Trump, Iran, white supremacist tied to anti-vax mechs and all that's going to be jammed together. And it's all going to be, oh my God, there's your terrorist group. And it's all going to be domestic terrorism against all of it jammed into one little cookie. It's ridiculous. I mean, it's childish, but that's what's going to happen. We're already watching it develop in front of us. Here's a person being refused access to food because they don't have a vaccine passport. It's in French, so you can't really. This is going to start happening all over the place, guys. All over the place. Now, here is a woman who went in for medical treatment, pregnant with her son. Both of them masked, and they refused her service at a hospital while she's pregnant because she didn't have an injection. And good God, if I was a husband or somebody, I would, you don't want to know. I mean, this is incredible. This made me burn. I was so angry when I first watched this. Now watch what she has to say.
Appointment scheduled since I've had a cardiologist appointment scheduled since May. It is now August. Today is my appointment. I show up for that appointment wearing a mask. He's wearing a mask. And I'm told that because I am not vaccinated and because he is too young to be vaccinated, I can't be seen. A 5-month pregnant woman who is having heart problems cannot see the cardiologist she has waited months to see because I'm not vaccinated. Tell me again.
Earmuffs, guys. She's about to cuss. So if you've got children watching, please remove them from the room. And the point was too, heart problems, right? So this is not a joke. That baby's at risk. And they're choosing to ignore that because she's a dirty anti-vaxxer. That's probably the mentality of these people, regardless of whether that even is the case. She's pregnant. The scientific research, the FDA documents still claim that they do not know if it's safe for pregnant women. This is completely preliminary, and yet she's being refused treatment.
And that it's about public health. Because I'm not vaccinated. Tell me again that it's about public health. These doctors and nurses should be fucking ashamed of themselves for turning away a patient who needs help because of their vaccination status. Unfucking real.
Now, here is the important part. Here is August 12th, revised. This is the FDA document we showed you, and here's what it says. What if I decide not to get Pfizer-BioNTech COVID vaccine? Or really, this applies to all of these emergency authorization. This is not this one. These are the updates of the information. Here, let me just give you the full title so we're clear on what this is. Fact sheet for, this is that one. Okay, I got them mixed up in my head. So the emergency use authorization of this. Now, there's these sheets for every one of them, for Janssen and all the whatever. The point is, it says the same things, and they're all updated based on the new information, specifically in regard to the mRNAs, the ones we keep showing you, the Pfizer and Moderna. But here's what it says. If it is your choice to receive or not receive the injection, should you decide not to receive it, it will not change your standard medical care. Now, I showed you this when this first came out, and I showed you how that was already not happening, how there were already doctors saying they weren't going to see the unvaccinated, right? Here is what is another example of how they're just completely going off the rails. All the people that are supposed to be in the mainstream, the doctors, the ones they're telling you to listen to that are going along with the COVID narrative are just blatantly ignoring what the FDA says they have to do. So who's in the wrong here? Right? If you're talking about hospitals, nurses saying you can't come in here, even though you're masked while you're pregnant, because you don't have an injection, we've seen the tide shift here in regard to what they're enforcing. They're going to force this on everybody, regardless of natural immunity, regardless of what your status is, your medical exemptions, your religious exemptions, any of it. Makes me sick. This is a lie, or they're criminals, or both. Now, here's another example. Washington state man claims hospital refusing transplants to the unvaccinated. Right. So it's okay to let them die. What happens if they're immunocompromised? What happens if they are pregnant? What happens if there's 1,000 other reasons why they might not want to get this thing? How about they just don't want to? But of course, it's already been decided for them. That makes them a bad person. Therefore, we're not going to give them medical treatment, despite the fact that that literally challenges what we're told we have to do. So it says, a Washington state patient who said he will ultimately be denied an organ transplant due to his refusal to undergo a coronavirus vaccine injection spoke out on Tucker Carlson. Derek Kovic told the host, the University of Washington Medical Center is not permitting patients to remain on transplant lists if they refuse to get the jab. Carlson went on to point to reporting from Seattle journalist Jason Rance, wherein another man named Sam Allen made a similar claim, saying he had received a letter to that effect after informing his doctor he wouldn't take the injection because of its risks of cardiac problems for someone who already physiologically has a weak heart. So because this guy has heart problems and they don't want to take an injection that will has a clear possibility to cause heart problems, they remove him from the transplant list for his heart problems. That is sickening to me. It's all over the place. Washington Hospital removing patients from transplant lists for being unvaccinated. Don't forget, 2005, Universal Declaration on Bioethics and Human Rights, right? This is not a secret, guys. This is the United Nations. This is the United Nations Educational, Scientific, and Cultural Organization, UNESCO. It says quite clearly, the interests and the welfare of the individual should have priority over the sole interest of science or society. Guess they don't care about that part of international law. How about this one? The consent should, where appropriate, be expressed and may be withdrawn by the person concerned at any time for any reason. Important part, without disadvantage or prejudice. Okay, this is specifically about bioethics and human rights. That's what we're talking about right now in regard to forcing a medical intervention that's experimental and unapproved. And this is international. This is from the United Nations, and they're telling you that you don't have the right to force this on them. And if they refuse, to force disadvantages because of that situation. But they're doing it anyway, and they don't care. Now, here is a step over into the vaccine passport, which is obviously coming, but it's clearly showing you. It's not coming. It's already here. There's green passes all multiple countries around the world, and all that's happening is really embarrassingly and clumsily. Your government's pretending like what they're doing is not that. No. This piece of paper that we're going to put on your phone, it's not a digital passport. What are you, a conspiracy theorist? It's so embarrassing to watch how they try to play this game. It's because they do. They treat us like we're 5 years old. And that's going to be their downfall. But it says, Vax Verify website offers digital vaccination proof in Illinois. And even in this article, they go, no, it's not a vaccine passport, you sillies. But what's funny is that guess what you have to go through? You have to go through a site that does a credit check. Now, whether it does a credit check when you go through this site to access it is kind of an irrelevant point. It's already showing the infrastructure of how this will eventually be used. Or so it appears to me. Let's look at it. It says, a new online portal that allows residents to save and print a copy of their COVID-19 vaccine record was launched on Illinois Wednesday. It says, In order to access a vaccination record within the portal, Illinois residents have to go through a one-time verification process through Experian. Well, what do you know about that? Social credit, here we come. After that, the portal requires multi-factor authentication to log in or on. Due to the Experian link, those with frozen credit need to unfreeze it. But what do you know? So clearly, this is a somewhat credit check. Like if you're frozen entirely, you can't do it at all. So this is already integrated. It's already there. And I don't believe really, to be honest, this has anything to do with your credit score. I think this simply has to do with what will eventually be a group that's used to give you a social credit score. That's what I think it is. This is simply infrastructure. And here's the why I think that. Once inputting your identity into the portal, the website shows a disclaimer that states, quote, "This is not a certified record. It is for informational purposes only." So basically they're telling you it's for you to store it. This doesn't serve as some kind of verification, even though it will, by the way, soon, and already is based on that card. But it says the application is useful in the event of a resident loses their vaccine card or needs an official record of the vaccine lot number, which you enter into it, you understand, for work or travel, but does not address the possibility of fraudulent vaccine proof, of course, because the point is you can download the app and just enter in fake information. But of course, that will be found out when you try. The point, this is preliminary. Once this all becomes something that's being used, they're going to make the justification for why, hey, we already have the infrastructure set up. Let's just use that because of all these fake passports, right? It's not too hard to see how they're laying the groundwork. It's pretty obvious, by the way. So I actually had an article up I closed. I've already talked about it, but how they keep telling you consequences for those fake vaccine cards, which whether they're real or not, they're laying the groundwork for how it's everywhere and everyone's faking their vaccination status. Okay. That is the impetus for this. They're going to go, well, because they're faking it, we need to find a way around that. What do you guys think we should do? And, oh, well, look, vaccine passports, and pretend like we called for it. Problem, reaction, solution. And then they go, well, guess what? We already have the infrastructure played up right here. Look, it's even tied to Expedia. Oh, that's perfect. And then we'll use it. Now, regardless of whether you put in your fake information, once you go somewhere to try to use it, it's going to go, oh, that's fake. Arrest him. Now it says, officials stressed the new portal is not a vaccine passport. I guess it's so stupid. Of course it is. Of course it is. That's exactly what it is. It says, but rather makes it easier for the residents to show their vaccination record without having to keep track of the card. Okay, so what exactly is a vaccine passport? It's a process by which you show proof of your vaccination record to be able to access something. So in this case, they're talking, it's not a vaccine passport. It just makes it easier for you to show your record to get into certain services. Yeah, oh, so, but it's not the same thing though, even though it's literally the exact same thing. Makes sense. Digital QR codes that can be scanned to confirm vaccination status are already available in California, New York, Louisiana, but they're not vaccine passports though. Indiana and Wisconsin both have forms of immunization registries for residents to get replacement vaccine cards. Chicago Department of Public Health Director Allison Arwady addressed the logistics of digitizing proof of vaccination during a press conference Thursday. She said Louisiana and New York had embraced the idea of vaccine requirement. And can you hear it again? But it's not a vaccine passport though, right? We're requiring this for you guys already. We're creating a digital version of that that you're going to need to use to access services, which we already laid out in New York, but it's not a vaccine passport though. It's just embarrassing. Like it's really bad how clumsy and incompetent these people are if that's what they actually think is going to work. Hey, it's working on some people. It's probably because as Caitlin Johnstone points out, we are easily the most propagandized nation on the planet. Maybe that's why it's working to half the country. But here's another interesting addition to that complete setup for your vaccine passport credit score. Health Ministry says in Israel that the vaccinated are only going to get a 6-month green pass. You know why? Because in 6 months, you're going to need another booster. Except you don't need it if you had natural immunity. But if you've already taken the injection, that's gone already. So you're in a bad set. You're on that 50. You're on the side of the 50% that are in a bad way. People who have not gotten it, who mostly have likely have natural immunity, run screaming from this thing because it'll take your immunity away. As we already showed you based on the scientific peer-reviewed research, even though they'll censor this anyway. But here's another one. Malta. You mean that country that has one of the largest highest vaccine rates in the world, yet has a clearly problematic issue with Delta, just like Israel, despite the fact that they admittedly and reportedly told the world they reached herd immunity way back in March? Again, the same argument. That does not make sense if what their argument is that was supposed to stop the Delta variant from hurting them. It clearly didn't. But guess what? Same thing. They're going to do their own vaccine passports, which aren't supposed to be happening, only be valid for 6 months. You realize this is not a coincidence. It's because this is a plan. You're going to get a booster just like everything else. except you don't need that unless you've already started the vaccine train, right? Now, on top of that, we see places like Australia with their lockdowns around all of this based on the concept of basically, in this case, four deaths. That's it. In a really long period of time. And it's just like everywhere else, like Sweden we're talking about, that has a 7-day average of zero deaths for months now. They're locking the entire country down based on something that is not killing people. And you realize that this is all stemming this way, right? The lockdown is part of the vaccine passport scenario. As long as they can keep you scared and keep some of the population that they then frame as the majority screaming about how we're all killing everybody, then they're going to justify the passports. Now, as it says, the state's worst day of the pandemic turned chaotic yesterday. The worst day, meaning, you know, one person died or something like that, which is basically ridiculous based on cases, the only thing they're using. Chaotic yesterday as Premier Gladys, however you pronounce her last name, unveiled a crackdown on movement across Sydney, and a secret government document revealed even more restrictions, including mandatory outdoor masks. So even when you're out in the park, mandatory, were considered to curb the COVID-19 outbreak. The remainder of NSW, which is the health group in Australia, was plunged into a 7-day lockdown, which was announced by Nationals, members of parliaments on social media, and later confirmed by a press release hours after the update at 11 a.m., which reported a record 466 cases. By the way, all based on a PCR test that is obviously not suited for this purpose, which even Dr. Scoglio, PhD, proved on live air, tested positive with a Kiwi, has a possibly 95% false positive rate when using the cycle threshold that they are verifiably using. It doesn't get more ridiculous than this. But guess what? Four deaths. Four. They're willing to destroy everyone's lives, everyone's businesses, everyone's livelihood, everyone's mental wellness for four deaths. Look at Chicago. There's 56, or you know what I mean? Like, think about context here. This is insulting. Now, here is what's happening in Australia because of four deaths. This stuff is going to blow your mind. I mean, this first one's not even the worst. This is crazy to me. This is happening in Australia right now because people chose to go outside.
Has exclusive pictures of the stealth police operation which nabbed a woman who'd travelled from Queensland breaching her home isolation.
She met up with her partner at an Aldinga holiday park in...
So just realize we're talking about a government who said you weren't allowed to leave your home. You're forced into your house because of what we tell you you might have. This is authoritarian, totalitarian dictatorship, guys. Let's not pretend we're talking about something else.
And now he's in custody too.
The moment, police move in their hunt for a quarantine breacher. A convoy of cars enters the Aldinga Beach Holiday Park.
Good God.
Targets, this couple, who checked into cabin 12. The woman had travelled from Queensland. She was supposed to be staying at a different address in isolation.
I was sitting in my caravan talking to my mum on the phone, and all of a sudden these police cars just arrived.
The operation, swift and strategic. Police contacting the park owners early yesterday morning, arranging a secret rendezvous nearby.
We helped them, assisted them, gave a map to get in there and quickly as quietly and get them out.
Some officers in full PPE as a police helicopter hovered above in case of a runner.
A helicopter in case of a runner. What crime have they committed? Right, there's no law here. We're talking about mandates in regard to something that has been verifiably shown to not be what they keep pretending it is. And yet these people, they might run like a runaway prisoner, because that's exactly what they are to them, a runaway prisoner. They're treating them like a criminal. This is incredible. Like, meanwhile, there's a woman being raped over there in the corner. Who cares about that? That guy's being robbed over there on the corner, right? Matt, you realize that even before COVID-19, even discussing like the concept of rape kits in places like LA, where it was revealed that they had decades worth of rape kits that weren't even opened, right? And this is because they're focusing on things like marijuana. This is the same concept. They're focusing on the things that are politically useful for them. Meanwhile, everything else goes by the wayside. But they care about your health, though.
And there was. The man tried to flee without success. The woman arrested in the cabin.
The chap ran off and they chased him. And then they came back and picked up the woman.
The park owners say 37-year-old Carly Jo Cleese checked in on Saturday. They weren't told she was from interstate.
We were lied to. We didn't know where she'd come from. Details were false. But, you know, everything went smoothly. You can only do so much.
And her fiancé, 40-year-old Smithfield man Terence William Webb, is alleged to have been in breach of his bail.
The couple faced court separately today and neither applied for bail, so tonight they remain in custody. And so far, both have tested negative for COVID.
Ah, well, because that's the non-relevant part, right? Both of them are not at risk at all, not sick, not probably have natural immunity, but who cares? Who cares? Because they didn't follow the mandates, right? The arbitrary rules from dictators. God, it makes me sad, you know? Like, it's just incredible. Now, here is something else that I wanted to share. Now, this is something that's been circulating, and I wanted to share this for a specific reason. Now, this is something that I believe I've got a pretty solid handle on it with my due diligence about what is actually happening here. But my point in showing this is not necessarily to say that this is what people are saying it is, but to say that it's very, very, very important, as I've said many times, banging my head against this wall, that we need to be better than what they're doing in the independent, in the mainstream media. And by the way, a lot of the quasi-mainstream independent media too, where we keep, and you know, and look, I'm not saying I don't make mistakes. I admit it. I've owned up to plenty of them, and I will always do so. But there's a lot of people that will share a video like this on Twitter and just say like this, for instance, Australian Gestapo kidnaps daughter from her father's arms to forcibly inject her with an experimental drug. Now, I have been unable to verify that that's exactly what's happening. It could be, but let me show you what it is, because regardless of what the context is, there's a couple things you can tell. One, there's police. There are nurses in full PPE, and all of them are wearing masks. Right, so clearly this is taking place during this time frame, but what is actually happening, whether they need to forcefully inject her, whether there's a treatment that she wants to avoid, and how the dad responds are all very revealing, but it's wrong regardless. Now take a look, and we'll talk about it afterward. Let me grab the clip for you. Father and daughter. You know, it doesn't really matter, to be quite honest. The fact that that kind of thing is even possible in our medical system, it shows you how broken it all is. Right? Now, the bottom line is something is wrong here. A daughter is being forcefully removed from her father's arms for something. Why is that ever okay? What could possibly be happening here that is justifiable to remove that screaming daughter from her father's arms to do anything, to force any kind of treatment? I don't care what you think it is. Why is it not his choice? Now, here's the point. Here's what I found in my due diligence in this topic. First of all, I want to show you. Oh, and remember, that's why I played this, because this is exactly what we're talking about. This crackdown on movement across Sydney, which was the same thing we're seeing here in this video. Now, here it says COVID-19 positive children, quote, very frightened and separated from parents at Sydney's WestMed Hospital. Now, it could be possible that this girl was tested in a broad spanning test that happened in a school, which they're doing. And then, you know, based on these wildly high false positives, this person was forced to give up his daughter, which makes me sick. And then understand, there's plenty of people in Australia that are trying to plead. No, not, they're not forcing vaccines there. It's not what's happening. I don't know that. I think this is happening quietly in a lot of places, in my opinion. But as I understand it, the narrative in Australia is that they haven't had access to a lot of these for a long time, and not everyone's even gotten the opportunity to get it, which I don't buy necessarily, but certainly that's what a lot of Australians are telling me. So the idea that this would be something that was happening, especially since under that age of girl is not even supposed to be allowed. But again, to my points before, that doesn't seem to be something that matters. But regardless, if she was being taken in there because she got a test and they want to confirm that, and being pulled from his arms, that's not okay with me. This is crazy. But this is definitely something that is happening. And just to point out that this is a new process for them, where whether it's people that are being tested positive for COVID-19 or coming in for another kind of a treatment, they're simply not allowing the parents or anybody to go along with these children, and it's scaring them. Now, this to me seems to be something like this because of the fact that the dad didn't want to let her go. And I would argue that if this was a positive test, they were going to force the person in, which would explain that. Now, here is the last part of it. Here is Matt Novak, who is the a senior writer at Gizmodo. So just, you know, one another journalist out there writing, you know, and stating that in his due diligence, it's a family incident, according to the Victoria Police. And this is the site down here. Quote, and I'll just read it while I show you this. Now, it says the reporter from Gizmodo, he was reaching out to them to ask. And this is their response. Police responded to a family incident at Werribee Police Station on Saturday 14th. We will not be releasing anything further for the privacy of those involved. Now, you know what that sounds like to me, especially right now? It sounds like something regarding COVID. The way that they always do this. Now, she seems to be too young in the context, what we're being told about Australia, to be giving an injection. But if it's a family incident at a police station, when we're clearly looking at them in regard to, I mean, this, let's see. This appears to be a hospital, but this could be a police station is for all we know. My point in all of this, guys, is that this is being speculated across the board, right? All over the place. I think this was Jack Posobiec that shared it, you know, and this is just going and good for going to Matt Walsh saying anybody got the context here. The problem is that this stuff is being widely shared because it is, we assume it's what we want it to be. Now, it very well could be like this literally could be because of a test and the mom disagreed with the dad or however we're playing this and this and the state steps in. Either way, it's pretty clear that this daughter is being forcefully removed from her dad. And that makes me sick. God, just, I can't even watch that again. It really upsets me. But this is the world that they're creating where this is justifiable because of whatever they say is necessary, because danger, because fear, because virus. Same thing they tried to do with terrorism, right? Didn't work as well, but it's happening pretty strongly now where your constitutional rights are put on hold, even though they are supposed to understand what inalienable means, shall not be infringed. Who cares? Danger, virus. Then we all just put it aside. We have to be careful, guys. Now, I'm interested in this, and I'm going to keep following to find out more. There might even be more follow-ups underneath this that explain it, but I'm pretty sure this is what we're staring at, and I will have to find out what the police have to say about what happened here to find out what's really going on or from the hospital. But either way, this is the reality in COVID-19 clown world. Now we'll circle back to the Biden discussion and finish this off with the masks and, well, masks and Tennessee. And these are some really important points to me here. We're looking good on time here, so let's see if we can get through this pretty reasonably quickly. Here is Biden talking about Tennessee, looking awfully confused, as he usually does. Tennessee first, in regard to the Williamson County School Board. Yep, Joe Biden himself stands up and talks about Williamson County. Anybody still thinking this was something not normal? Like, do you realize that the exact same kind of event happened, is still happening all over the place with the same, if not far, far more people? So why did Williamson County get picked out? Why is that one being national? There's something weird. You know why? Because don't forget that new Rush Limbaugh replacement guy who was from Fox News just so happened to be there. And yeah, he apparently does have family in Franklin, but he was the one that stood up. And again, I'm not trying to suggest this was all, I don't know for sure whether or not this is all completely staged and organized. I am trying to suggest that it's possible. I don't know this guy. I don't know whether or not that's something. Bottom line is, I know for sure he's the one that stood up and said, we're coming for you. And that's what they keep saying is the problem. And that's what they keep citing as the excuse to say this whole thing is about people trying to attack doctors, which then stems into the domestic terrorism concept around COVID-19, January 6th, and everything else, because those people are Trump supporters because they believe this is fake, even though it's not true. Half the people there are completely on one side or the other, and they're just trying to make this a narrative. But the fact that this is being talked about is very clear to me.
Unfortunately, as we've seen throughout this pandemic, some politicians are trying to turn public safety measures, that is children wearing masks in school, into political disputes for their own political gain.
You know, Bob, this is the kind of dumb thing. Biden doesn't even understand what he's talking about half the time. But the point is that in a general sense, it's pretty clear. They're just stamping their foot down and saying, you know, they're trying to attack our safety measures for kids that keep them safe no matter what, all day, every day, forever, right? It's like, okay, that's a little bit of an opinion, don't you think? Seeing as how there's people, scientists, doctors, other politicians, equally, you know, people in Congress who are adamantly stating the same things we are, that there are peer-reviewed research that says the opposite. But that's my point about these stupid briefings. That all he's doing is just saying what he wants you to think because masks are the best thing ever and they save your lives and they make you fly away to heaven. You know, it just doesn't matter. It's just repeating narratives.
Some are even trying to take power away from local educators by banning masks in school.
Now, I found that to be a very telling point. Sorry, I don't want to keep stopping it because I know some people hate that, but this is an important point. The idea that he's saying take power away, right? Not the choice, right? Take power. That's very telling to me. You know why? Because that's what this is all about power, right? So who has power in this concept? We're talking about the government, the state government, taking power away from a school board. Like, if the government's stating law or stating that this is an illegal, look, if Biden can sign an executive order, that becomes law. I disagree with that statement in general. But if Biden's doing that, if Trump did that, if Obama did that, and they declare that law, then if the governor does that and it's law in that state and the school board can just challenge that, do you realize how ridiculous that is? He's saying that the governor was taking power away from the school board. It's the other way around here, guys, and that's what's ridiculous. Remember the same point I made the other day. Here's Biden telling you that if you challenge the government, you're a terrorist, right? If you stand up and you have anti-government sentiment, well, isn't what he's saying right now anti-government sentiment? Isn't he telling them to challenge the state government? Yes, he is, because this is a standoff. This is a game of chicken. This is seemingly the beginnings of a civil war concept. You're watching them stand against each other, and this is crazy. What about states' rights, right? Nobody cares about any of this stuff. What he is telling them is to stand up against what their government is saying at a state level because he disagrees with it. This is broken. I mean, this is so disjointed, and he's telling you to do, because he agrees with it, exactly what he's telling you in context of him makes you a terrorist.
We're setting a dangerous tone. For example, last week at a school board meeting in Tennessee, protesters threatened doctors and nurses were testifying, making the case for masking children in schools. The intimidation and the threats we're seeing across the country are wrong. They're unacceptable.
Right. So now, despite all the threats of unvaccinated people and how terrible they are, and how we should just lock them all up, and now they shouldn't get treatment, and we should increase their insurance, and because they're just bad people, right? That's just everywhere. But we have one incident in Williamson County on record, which blows up across the national discussion, and now all of them all over. Give me another example. I'm not saying they're not happening. My point is that's the assumption that's being laid out there. I haven't seen other examples of people being openly threatened. We're coming for you. In fact, I've seen a lot of them in the reverse, though. Now, maybe that's just my perspective. Maybe I missed the other ones. My point is, he lays these statements out, and this is like saying that, I don't even want to get into all of his gaffes, but the point is that's just a statement. Just like 99% unvaccinated, which, by the way, we just proved was a complete fabrication. Okay, so why would we trust this one? Frustrating.
I've said in a dangerous tone. For example, last week, at a school board meeting in Tennessee, protesters threatened doctors and nurses who were testifying, making the case for masking children in schools.
Which, by the way, is not actually accurate. It was one thing once outside. That was the only clip that was ever played. This has turned into a huge people all threatening all these nurses and doctors. It's just, this lies always. At the very least, embellishment for their narrative, because that's totally honest.
The intimidation and the threats we're seeing across the country are wrong. They're unacceptable. I've said before, this isn't about politics.
I'm sorry, I have to say this now as well. So intimidation and threats are wrong, except when they're leveled at the unvaccinated. Right? Because what's happening if not intimidation and threats? They're intimidating you by telling you they're going to remove things from you if you don't take this thing. They're intimidating you by saying we won't let your child in school. They're threatening you by saying we're going to, that's what this is, guys. This is prejudice and disadvantage, just like UNESCO laid out. So it's not okay to threaten them, which it's not, and I agree with that, but it's okay to threaten us because it's happening, and even they're doing it. From the government level, they are threatening us with action and disadvantage if we do not do what they want. This guy is a clumsy clown show of a dumpster fire. I swear, I can't even stand watching these things.
It's about keeping our children safe. It's about taking on the virus together, united. I've made it clear that I'll stand with those who are trying to do the right thing.
Right, by his opinion, right? So the right thing is what he decides. Doesn't matter what the entire people of a state vote for, or whether their governor votes for, or whether they the law that they mandate, doesn't matter. If he decides it's okay, states' rights, who cares, right?
This week, I called school superintendents in Florida and Arizona to thank them for doing the right thing and requiring masks in their school.
Right. Who cares about the data, the science, the peer-reviewed research, all the random controlled trials? Who cares? Do the right thing, which is what I want.
One of them said, we teach science, so we follow the science.
Obviously not.
The other said they have a guiding principle.
They mean follow the CDC.
Students first. I couldn't agree with more than, I just couldn't agree more with what they both said. And that's why today I'm directing the Secretary of Education, an educator himself, to take additional steps to protect our children. This includes using all of his oversight authorities and legal action, if appropriate, against governors who are trying to block and intimidate local school officials and educators. And as I said before, if you aren't going to fight COVID-19, at least get out of the way of everyone else who's trying.
Right. So, you know, what's actually humorous about that, I'll leave it there, is that the people who are, in his point, not fighting it are the very ones that are, in fact, keeping, you know, like the people that are injected and having, they're spreading all of this, as all the research is showing, are the ones that are keeping these variants going, as the actual scientific research continues to show. Right. So who needs to get out of the way exactly? Right. But what's crazy about this is how they're pushing this so obviously.
In legal action, if appropriate.
In regard to the teachers here. Oh, wait, actually, there's one more part, I think.
I said before. You know, we're not going to sit by as governors try to block and intimidate educators protecting our children.
Try to intimidate them, of course, right? You see, okay, you see that crossover? So he's trying to frame this as the same thing. That's not an accident. So you've got so-called anti-vaxxers intimidating and threatening doctors and nurses. And now you've got the government in Florida threatening and intimidating nurses and teachers, or teachers, in fact. That's not an accident. Neither one of those things are, in fact, what really happened. In this case, we're talking about law mandate, whatever you want, specifically executive order, I guess, in regard to a choice, in regard to giving the parents a choice. And they're so upset about that, that they're pretending like they're being threatened and attacked. But in this case, we're also talking about people who go over that choice, right? So those are more steps that are missing. They're talking about teachers who say, no, we don't care about the executive order that gives them a choice. We're going to make them do it anyway. And then Florida comes back in and says, well, if you do that, we might have to remove your pay. And this is the wrong way to go about it.
The governor wants to cut the pay of a hardworking education leader who requires masks in the classroom. The money from the American Rescue Plan can be used to pay that person's salary.
Right. Okay. So your tax dollars are going to go twice now, or I guess not twice if it was not paid. So it's still the same point. But this is money that's supposed to be going to people who need it for COVID stuff, whatever. The bottom line is they're saying we're going to take their pay away because they're not following the law or executive order at the very least, which by the way, is exactly what Biden is saying in regard to the vaccine mandate. It's just so hypocritical and stupid, right? It's political disagreement being framed as law on both sides, right? But before I go past that, oh, wait, that's right. Oh, I think I forgot an article in here. Well, the point was here, guys, that they're trying to say, I mean, I'll just make the point based off what he just said. If you're forcing these people, or not, excuse me, if he's going to say he's going to pay these teachers, if Florida doesn't, one, what does that become? That becomes the federal government directly paying these teachers. Maybe that's exactly what they want. But at the end of the day, it just becomes a continuation of the same thing. So what happens? The same thing that they wanted to happen with the appearance of some kind of pushback. Now, if Florida really wanted to put their foot down, if DeSantis really wanted to put his foot down, he could say, well, you're breaking the law, right? So just like Biden's administration is saying, well, if you're not wearing a mask in this context, like we just saw in Australia, not that those are the same things, just, you know, it's happening everywhere, that you're going to be arrested. Right. That's happening. We're watching people be arrested or held accountable for not wearing a mask or not doing the right thing. Right. OK. In their minds. So if DeSantis is saying these teachers have to give them a choice and they're not doing that, why don't you arrest them? Isn't it the same point? Now, I don't want people to be arrested on either side of this in that context, because this is politics, but it's the same concept. And if you're going to play games and pull their funding and they're just going to give them funding, that's going to create a concept. It's going to create a left versus right paradigm. And that's what they want. If they're not following the law, arrest them. Seems pretty simple, doesn't it? But that would be too simple, because that would then end the problem. So they're going to pay them. They're going to pretend like they're stopping it. The bottom line is all this is going to keep going forward. And it's going to become a left versus right paradigm that leads to what I keep calling COVID-9-11. That's what this is. This is just combination of the 9/11 anniversary, the January 6th, the white supremacy, the foreign invasion, and the, you know, all the different things we're talking about, all lumped in with anti-vaxxers and, you know, possible attacks on vaccine infrastructure. We've already seen this, and it's all kind of just cobbled together. And as I said, here's an example. Just in, this is today, U.S. Capitol Police orders the evacuation of the Cannon office building after the Cannon House office building after a report of possible explosives in a vehicle nearby. Now, ended up not really happening. And I said, of course, the buildup hype begins. False flag, COVID-9/11. The idea is this creates in your mind the idea that we're building towards something, threats and attacks. And we're, oh my gosh, bombs. And here's another one. Just in Times Square in New York City evacuated due to a suspicious package on the bomb squad. All right. All clear. Both of them, right? Oh, it's all good now. We sufficiently got the thought in everyone's minds, right? So as I said in this one as well, the buildup hype continues. False flag, COVID-9/11. Now this is happening. Man surrenders after claiming to have bomb near Library of Congress, right? This is going to continue to build. Oh, that's right. I was supposed to make these points in regard to Biden. I forgot about that. Just, you know, the same nonsense it keeps spouting out, the idea that these things work and these things don't. It's not true. And all this is the research we have from before, but I'll leave that alone. So Florida levies first punishments on schools for mask mandates. Now, this is the same concept. This is the discussion that we were just having. DeSantis signed an executive order in July making mask wearing optional. That's all he did, which is good, right? Same thing's happening in Tennessee, I believe, right? We just talked about it, right? So the idea is that they're making it optional. I just talked about the governor in Tennessee. So how is giving people an option something that's making people upset? Well, because they don't want you to have an option. They've made their mind up. And they've also been coddled and coaxed into thinking it's the right choice by the government. So they all just pretend that authoritarianism in this context is totally fine because we're crazy and wrong, right? But if it was the reverse situation, they'd be screaming tyranny. Authoritarianism is my rights, right? But it's because they're getting what they want, so it's okay. But it says the floor. I'm not talking left versus right here. I'm simply talking about everyone who ridiculously believes that forcing medical interventions and mask mandates on people against their will is somehow freedom. It says the Florida Board of Education voted unanimously to sanction two public school districts that are mandating mask wearing, defying the governor's executive order, banning requirements, banning the requirement and giving them a choice. Right. So the boards are going against that. Now, it says these districts may be well-intentioned, have not followed the protocols, according to the Florida Education Commissioner Richard Corcoran during the Education Board meeting Tuesday. They have to comply with the law, whether they agree with it or not. Like this. So this is what Biden is standing up and going, who cares about those things, right? Can we do that in court in regard to what Biden thinks is important? Can we not care about what he thinks is allowed or legal in regard to mask mandates? No, you can't, of course, because that makes you a terrorist. But over here, he's encouraging them in these Republican states to make sure that this happens, right? Stand up against that law. We don't care. This is crazy. This is going to create what they want it to create. Now, it says sanctions could include withholding school official salaries and removing them from their jobs. Okay, how about you just arrest them? If they're violating the law, see, I think that's a choice, guys. I think they know that they could do this, but by not doing that, and they just do this back and forth with Biden, they can keep it going. Maybe I'm a pessimist. Maybe I'm, you know, jaded by the two-party paradigm, but I really don't think this is leading for you. This isn't being done for your interest. These teachers are just violating state law. No one cares. But Biden's going to pay them anyway because he believes. Well, here's the NIH director, Biden, Dr. Francis Collin, director of NIH, telling you masking rules for kids are based on rare anecdotes, not data. You can look up the interview yourself. I watched it myself. It says National Institute of Health Director Francis Collins admitted Tuesday that masking recommendations are based on anecdotes and not scientific data. Quote, I wish we had that data, but Hugh, I don't think you're hearing me. It's not just about that, Collins said on the Hugh Hewitt show. It says when host Hugh Hewitt pointed out that, quote, based on that fear, we are accepting known substantial costs and deficits, which will be lifelong in the classroom, Collins merely reiterated his inclination to agree with NIH Anthony Fauci, you know, the person under him, who was on the same show last week and repeated the mask rhetoric. It says, but that's the false choice, doctor, Hewitt said. Hewitt being a huge, it's a large radio platform. It says, quote, I don't think so, Collins replied, before admitting that there is not any data, quote, showing that those kids are at greater risk of hospitalization or illness of serious sort from taking their mask off there. It says, quote, it is still pretty rare, but it's not zero. And we now have more than 400 kids that have died of this. Now, before we keep going and point out the lie or the reality that they're using anecdotes and not data, which is what we keep telling you about the trust the science argument for masks, Let's debunk that little point that he just made and show you how wrong these people are to continue to lie about what's really going on. Here's the Wall Street Journal telling you the flimsy evidence behind the CDC's push to vaccinate children. And that's not about the vaccination. It's about the point that I've made before. So Dr. Collins is telling you that only over 400 kids have died. But here's the reality. A tremendous number of government and private policies affecting kids are based on one number. And this is what it was at the time, 335. That is how many children under 18 have died. Oh, excuse me. Well, anyway, I believe that was the same number then, with a COVID diagnosis code in their record, according to the CDC. However, the CDC, which has 21,000 employees, hasn't researched each death to find out whether COVID was actually the cause or something else. Make sure you really grasp what that just said. They haven't even researched whether these deaths are in fact COVID-19 deaths, despite them continuing to scream about how they investigate all of them and everything else is unverified, not for sure. 21,000 employees, 400 deaths, and they haven't even looked into one of them? It says, without these data, the CDC Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices decided in May, without the data, that the benefits of two-dose vaccinations outweigh the risks for all kids 12 to 15. This person is saying, and this is a Johns Hopkins doctor, I've written hundreds of peer-reviewed medical studies, and I can think of no journal editor who would accept the claim that 335 deaths or 400 deaths resulted from a virus without data to indicate if the virus was accidental or causal, and without an analysis of relevant risk factors such as obesity. Johns Hopkins researcher. Right. So, but here's Collins happily pointing out that 400 deaths, which we've completely failed to verify. So again, point out how they're unwilling to point to unverified side effects of the vaccine, but they'll happily point to unverified deaths that work on the other side of it. Hypocrisy. This is just blatant dishonesty. Now, the point is, again, 400 kids have died. That's what they keep using to argue kids are at risk, but that's not true because they haven't even proven any of them. It says they don't transmit quite as vigorously as older people, but they can transmit it. Lots of evidence of that. So if we're trying to tamp down the spread, here's one more place to do so. Also not true. Here's the largest study in regard to asymptomatic spread. And even Collins will tell you that asymptomatic doesn't spread it. It's the sick that spread it. So the point is, if the children who have only had 400 deaths on total, and most of them not even showing, it's not happening. And that's based on information that's not actually there that they haven't verified. Here's what it actually found in the largest study. A mass screening program of more than 10 million residents identified 300 asymptomatic cases of COVID-19, none of which was infectious. None of 10 million people. But here he is, happy to say, there's a lot of evidence of that and not cite any of it. It says, but if they're unmasked in the classroom, you know what's going to happen. They're going to be an outbreak. That's already happening in states that don't require masks. Nope, not true. The places that aren't, we're seeing far less. The places that we have the highest mask mandate, like a Malta, for instance, are seeing huge outbreaks. Not deaths, though, because it's not what's happening right now. That's why they're only talking about cases, but he keeps citing the narrative. This guy is completely toeing the line. But here's the best part of it. Collins claimed that the CDC, quote, really hates to have to make recommendations based on anecdotes, but justifies its actions by saying they are, quote, rigorous public health scientists. Right, because they're scientists. Like, this is exactly what the White House person said. But what do you mean? They're the experts, though. They're scientists. Are you stupid? Right, so we're blindly trusting what the experts say? Yes, just like what happened in H1N1, H6N1, all the fake pandemics of the past, which the WHO has already called out. Exactly. We're doing it all over again. Here's what he says. This is a tough time. Give the guys a little bit of a break there. How about not? How about not giving them a break when they've destroyed your entire life based on false information? But he says, quote, they're trying to manage the worst pandemic in 103 years. That's also completely fake based on every metric we have that is moving so rapidly. And Delta has blown everything up that we thought we knew about COVID-19. That's simply not true in regard to that. What it did is it showed you the vaccines aren't working, which is the same thing we showed you before. And we sort of have to start all over again with new data. Oh, great. So we're just going to start over again and keep forcing the thing that we don't even know is working. You notice how he's admitting all this stuff? And we've only really had this one for the last, month and a half. But let's keep forcing the injection that we don't even know applies, right? Sounds good. In a statement reminiscent of Fauci's anti-freedom rant last week, Collins said, I do think there are times where freedom has to be considered in the space of what that means for others around you. That's not what freedom means, you dumb. These people don't understand what freedom means. But the point is, he's talking about anecdotes. And what he's saying is, just give them a break. They're trying. Right? They're rigorous public health scientists, so we have to trust their estimation. No, we don't. That's not how this works. Their anecdotal evidence is standing right now in contrast to the scientific evidence that we've shown you constantly, article after article, peer-reviewed study after peer-reviewed study showing you that masks can cause pneumonia, that all sorts of things are happening. They're causing you to get sick. They're not, there's not a statistically significant reduction in transmission, which is what this 14 meta-analysis study of random controlled trials from the CDC told you. The main point, there is limited evidence for their effectiveness in preventing influenza virus transmission, which does apply right now to all influenza-like illness, including COVID-19, when warned by the infected person for source control or when warned by uninfected persons to reduce exposure. It does not have the effect. They're lying to you that it does. Oh, and by the way, here's that risk calculator from a 19-year-old. One in a million. Right. So here we are screaming about how children need to be masked and vaccinated, and they have one in a million risk. They don't spread it because they're not sick in general. You know, if they were, they were not infectious based on a 10 million person study, as well as plenty of others. So they're not at risk. They're not spreading it. They're not catching it. What are we talking about? We're talking about applying this because of a mandate, because of compliance, or because this is what's creating illness in this category that they can then justify as COVID-19. Bottom line is, there's plenty more evidence coming out all the time. This is actually from the beginning of the year. Need for assessing the inhalation of micro nanoplastic debris shed from masks, respirators, and homemade face masks during the COVID pandemic. Why didn't we talk about this? This is the science, right? Right. Of course, as always, when I say the science, I'm being facetious because that's a dumb statement. This is yet another example of scientific research using the scientific method that comes to the conclusion that there's a danger of microplastics in these masks that they've known for a long time. And they even ask the question, why aren't we talking about this? Because there's an agenda at play here. Here's what it says. There seems to be, however, an important piece missing in the suite of standards and volumes of research on inhalable environmental contaminants. None of these standards include the ASTM standards and NIOSH regulation, which are adopted by the FDA in regulating medical face masks and surgical respirators in the US. Interesting, right? So it's already there and the links are there for you to look at. Now it says, regulate respirable debris such as micro nanoplastics that may be present in these products. In fact, such neglect is not unique to US standards. Yeah, we should all know that by now, except for the fake news narrative right now. A review of current ISO standards, EU standards and Chinese standards on masks and respirators found no information pertinent to this particular type of hazard, which is funny because we have heard claims coming at that from China. Weird how we get that from China, but not from our own government, right? It says, with these becoming a necessity for many in their daily life and work, questions must be raised over this apparent regulatory gap concerning their long-term use safety. This is especially important given that there is already a growing body of evidence on the inhalation of micro nanoplastics and their adverse effects in humans and animals, right? This is the point, that they're ignoring the body of science that's there showing you that these things very clearly have an issue. Even more specific, there was a point down here about the ones that most people are using, the cloth or the homemade. That's what most people are using. It says from fabrics repurposed as face masks as per the current guidelines by the CDC, right? They're selling this online. People are making these in their homes and selling them on Amazon. Guys, they're everywhere. It says debris is likely to be generated from cutting and tearing. Some fabrics such as velvets, fleeces, and towels are known to shed microfibers when distributed. Detergent residues. This is another important point for those that are washing these things. Remember the only random controlled trial of cloth face masks? The moisture retention and reuse of them increase your risk of infection. Additionally, detergent residues from people that wash them and think that makes it better, even though other studies have shown that the washing opens the pores and makes it far less useful, and says the residues of detergent and lint generated from machine laundering and double drying may also be present in inhalable contaminants in washed garments. That sounds fantastic. May shed inhalable debris as air is drawn through the mask. Further, complaints of throat irritation or discomfort in the respiratory tract by children or at the elderly or other sensitive individuals after wearing these may be alerting signs of excessive amounts of respirable debris inhaled from self-made masks and respirators. Researchers studying the inhalation of micro nanoplastics through atmospheric or anthropogenic sources are now facing the reality that there is a piece of plastic garment on top of the mouth and nose for millions of people every day. It's just so crazy to me. This was January 2021. Yeah, I guess Fox News and CNN just missed that one, right? Crazy. Now, here's also the point, dude. I mean, you know, we have like Tucker Carlson pointing this all. I mean, there's constant flow of information coming out, but you'll note that none of this passes his desk before it passes one of ours. You should recognize that by now. And I don't even mean TLAB alone. I'm talking about independent media, which they clearly watch and clearly try to point, pick out the parts which they're allowed to talk about at certain times. This is showing you there's a danger here, guys. This is on top of every other thing we've told you about. Now, here is another interesting point in regard to this. Eric Hartman points out, he says, wow, the AAP, which is the I had it up here right here somewhere, American Academy of Pediatrics. He says, the AAP is actively deleting entire sections from their website, basically from early childhood development and the importance of facial cues for learning. Why? Well, because that's something they're pretending isn't a problem. They just put out all these new things and said, don't worry. Like I just showed you that tweet stream or tweet thread from AAP. I remember that was actually what it was. Now that I remember it, it was from AAP. How funny is that? And what they were saying was, no, don't worry. Your child's not being deficient because they can't see your mouth. That's a lie. Well, they're deleting that information now because they're dishonest. Great. I'm glad the group looking out for your children are the people that are lying about your children's safety. That's great. They are memory-holing decades of known and accepted medicine, all because they have embraced forced masking of our nation's children. Now, he said, here's the screenshot he shares. Now, I just want to jump over and show you the reality. And this is what I tried to find this for myself. See, there's a couple things I found. First of all, here is the actual page still on another website, babybuffer.org. However, when you try to search for it on their website, guess what? It doesn't show up, which to his point is exactly the reality. Oops, I hit the button. Hold on. Oh, of course. God darn it. Dang it, that bothers me. Oh, well, let's type it in again. FaceTime and emotional health. And it even pops up, you see. Oops. I type. There we go. It even pops up, by the way, so it's still in their memory for searching, but it does not come up here. See? And it's definitely theirs. I mean, it's my point. That best way to do that is as you're typing it, you can see it popping up. I mean, there's nothing below it that correlates with that. They removed this from their website. That's crazy. And this is what it was about. First visit, first time in emotional health, right? And here, the point that he's showing you on the graph here is what they're talking about, right? 4 to 5 months old can reach toward a book and pat the pictures in it. The idea is that this is affecting their growth and their understanding of the world around them. And even the American Association for Pediatrics knows that and is actively censoring the reality. Here's an even crazier part to prove this to you. I searched for this specifically and it pops up. Look at that. AAP, PDF, what do you know? Well, guess what? When you click on it, here's where it takes you. The homepage. That's why I had this open right here. Or this one? No. Oops, jumped ahead. So this is there, and it shows you that it was there, and it was a PDF. That's why this other website was able to grab it, right? This is the babybuffer.org. They just downloaded it and put it up on theirs because it is a PDF. But and here's even the better American PDF right there. It's crazy, guys. I mean, that's actually crazy. So big shout out to Eric Hartman for... Eric Hartman, that's funny, for pointing this out. He's right. They are censoring real information about your child's safety because the narrative and politics are going in that direction. Do you know? I mean, what isn't fake today? Is there a group out there fighting for your children's safety that won't be swayed by politics? Or are they just that broken and thinking that blindly trusting what the government says is the facts or are the facts? Right, we're showing you the reality, the information, and all they can. Why would they remove this data? So I even take that back. The point is, if they know this is there, they know this has been backed up by research, and they're removing it anyway. Blows my mind. And again, I want to point out as we finish up here, 2:44. I wanted 2:30. Not bad. All of the mask discussions, and please keep going back because most of these recent ones are kind of just updates. You go back even further, and I'll put this back in 1 second. It clearly is getting into the important ones, I think, right here. Yeah, like this one, the masks are making you sick, and it seems that's simply part of the plan. Masks lead to bacterial pneumonia. Like, you know, just dive through this. There's a lot of information, all the links there for you to check out. Now, I wanted to end with this just because I thought this was funny, and because I honestly, and before I even show it to you, I honestly haven't looked into this. I haven't checked whether this is real or not, and I did that for a reason. Because I laughed for 5 minutes when I looked at this simply because I couldn't tell whether or not it was real. And that says everything to me. And here it is. So it's breaking news from the podcast, and it shows the Taliban in their, I asked this earlier, is it hijab for a man? I don't know what the correct term is, but the wraps around their face. Oh, maybe it's a turban. I don't know if that's a different appropriate term for specifically Afghanistan, but it shows them with their face wraps around their mouth. And then it shows breaking news from CNN Live, and it says Taliban fighters responsibly wearing masks. I'm pretty sure this is fake. But what I think is hilarious is that I didn't know for sure. I thought that was incredible. I would not be surprised if CNN literally put this on their website. And that's crazy. Obviously, the joke is that's not what they're doing. This is them with their typical garb from long before. But if CNN like actually tried to misinterpret this and frame it as them being part of the game, I wouldn't be shocked by that. And so I thought it was funny. I'm not even going to look into it. I don't even care, because it just makes a point that we're in such a ridiculous COVID clown world that this literally could be something that they would do, and it wouldn't shock me. Honestly, I'm pretty sure it is fake just based on the way the lower thirds look, but it's just hilarious to me. Maybe not. Maybe not, seeing as how this is scrolling, or maybe that was imposed. I don't know. The point is, it doesn't matter, fake or real. I'm making a facetious point here, is that we're broken, and we're at a point now where there's so much ridiculous arguments, like directly counter to the scientific research, or directly counter to what a child would know. And yet here's Biden screaming it, saying it, yelling it, telling you up and down, if you're wrong, you're going to be arrested. I mean, this is a crazy time, guys. But thank you for being here and continuing to fight for the truth, continuing to be a part of this effort, because you are on the side. I mean, I genuinely believe you're on the side of the majority. I know people are having a hard time with that, but the 50%, even if it's 49, it still shows you the reality. And again, I don't know why we would trust those numbers anyway, but you are making a difference. Every one of you, every small thing you do, every person you talk to, every action you take, you are changing people's minds. Keep at it. I love you all. Thank you for being here. As always, question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.